Please tune back during broadcast hours. 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 Please tune back during broadcast hours.
Planet check. You know, Office Depot likes to do everything by the book. The Green Book, that is. Director of Environmental Affairs Tyler Elm explains.
The Green Book is the industry's first catalog consisting solely of environmentally preferable products printed on elemental chlorine-free, 100% post-consumer waste recycled paper. Paper that is 44% more energy efficient and requires no new trees to be cut down.
The new Green Book contains over 1,000 products made from in part or entirely recycled content.
We are committed to environmental stewardship and the conservation of our natural resources.
That's Planet Check.
Planet Check, your daily one-minute terrestrial examination.
Planet Check is possible thanks to tadmail.com, where environmentally conscious Americans get their internet access for free. Tadmail.com, helping people and the planet.
Hi, I'm Cindy Thompson for RAD, recording artists, actors, and athletes against drunk driving. To some, it's just not country music without hard drinking and fast driving. But real life's not always a song. And in less time than it takes to play the latest country hit, someone will be killed or injured in an alcohol-related crash. So next time you're out with someone who's been drinking, don't let them take the wheel. Take the keys instead. Sad stories make great songs, but happy endings make better lives. That's why friends don't let friends drive drunk.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Introducing Venture Magazine, the progressive voice for the next generation of market makers. Hi, I'm Kevin Halloran, publisher of Venture, the magazine of risk and reward, where opportunity is seized on every page and where new ideas spring to life. For a free trial issue of Venture, call 866-MY-ISSUE and learn how Samsung steps into the cool as a serious threat to Sony, or how the hidden wealth of Vietnam may fuel the best investment opportunity of the year. In this issue of Venture, you'll discover the emergence of nanotechnology and separate science fact from fiction. Experience intimacy in the City of Angels at the Frank Gehry Design Disney Hall and enjoy the new American splendor. For those who have achieved, those who desire to succeed, and those who dream, Venture is your magazine. Call 866-MY-ISSUE to start your subscription or learn about employment, investment, and partnership opportunities. And remember, in business and in life, always venture.
The Majority Report.
There is a portion of this country that has moved so far to the right, the rest of society was slowly becoming progressive. Women were becoming emancipated. Gays, particularly at the time...
How did women get emancipated?
Janine Garofalo and Sam Cedar.
There's the women's movement, which would say...
As someone who's about to get married, I just found out that my wife will not be my home property.
Air America's Majority Report. Weeknights 8 to 11 on Air America Radio.
It's 21 past the hour, and now it's time, of course, as we do every day, for our very exclusive look into President Bush's day planner for Thursday, April 22nd. We pulled this right off the White House website. President's Day is as follows, 7 a.m. Wake up, stay on message, fear equals second term, or even third. Think FDR. 7:32 a.m., apply smirk cream. 8 a.m., breakfast fundraiser. Tell them we won't cut and run. 8:45 a.m., meet with Joint Chiefs. Figure out way to cut and run. 11:50, speak at Earth Day event in Wells, Maine. Proclaim, Earth is for Earthers. Noon snack, raspberry Slurpee and Pop Rocks. 1:15 p.m., use Sugar Buzz to draft plan to invade Syria. 1:30 p.m., ignore father's calls begging me not to invade Syria. 3:45 p.m., speak at President's Environmental Youth Awards. Proclaim, the environment is for environmenters. 7:15 p.m., find out what Earth Day is. 9:30 p.m., TiVo Gay Hitler documentary and bedtime. That is the presidential day for today, Thursday, my mommy's birthday.
Mm.
Riley, what do you got on Iraq?
Man, you know, there was a song done by a group called War many, many years ago called Slipping into Darkness.
Oh, yeah? How's that one go?
Well, I don't sing well.
Just do that in the break.
Yeah, but five suicide car bombs. Five.
Yeah.
Exacted a deadly toll in Basra. This is in southern Iraq. 68 Iraqis were killed, 18 school children.
Oh, man.
And more than 100 people were wounded. The dead included 16 Iraqi police officers.
Man.
Wow.
There's a real incentive to go join up with them.
Yeah, well, maybe this will change their minds a little bit and get on board with, instead of...
That's part of the problem.
Yeah.
Basra, by the way, is under the nominal control of British coalition forces. They really haven't been fighting the Americans quite that much. The coalition expressed, of course, shock and revulsion at the bombings, but they don't seem to have galvanized Iraqis against the insurgents. Coalition forces say that rocks were thrown at them when they were trying to get to the blast sites. I'm assuming here they were going to try and help, but people were throwing rocks at them.
The locals were throwing rocks at the Americans?
At the British.
At the British at for the going British. Into help. Wow, man, they must really hate them.
Yeah, I think they hate the entire coalition. I don't think they're singling out the British. I think the Iraqi people seem to be sick and tired of the coalition being there. They want them out.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know what will happen if the coalition leaves, because it could even be more chaotic.
Civil war, yeah. Theocracy.
Possibly. In Fallujah, of course, U.S. Marines were involved in a four-hour firefight that left 36 insurgents dead. That's according to the Marines. No word yet on whether that battle means the absolute end of that truce that had been in place in Fallujah. And Defense Secretary Rumsfeld, who's probably second in line right behind Dick Cheney on the darkness hit parade, says that the truce is not going to hold for all that long.
Do they still have al-Sadr, hold up in the compound or what?
That's in other city, Najaf.
Oh, it is? Okay,
I believe
it's a different city.
Yeah.
Where are we now? We're in Fallujah now?
We're in Fallujah we're talking about.
But there are signs that this is causing administration to change tack a little. I think I read somewhere this morning that they are now going to try to recruit former members of the Ba'ath Party.
It's bad when that happens.
On board with the coalition they're trying to put together for the handover in June 30th. So they are being forced to reconsider their position. They wanted all these guys out. When they went in there, they got rid of all the heads of police, mm-hmm. anybody they thought might be loyal to Saddam Hussein. So it's like a clean house, and now they're incredibly vulnerable because you have the Iraqis who have been working for them or with them walking off the job, not wanting to fire on Iraqis. They don't want to be kind of killing their own.
Yeah, because when America leaves, they're going to be like, "Are you the guys who killed us?"
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Sue's right. 10% of these Iraqi security forces, and this is according to American estimates, are now working against the Americans that supposedly trained them to be part of the security
force. It's like that horrible moment where the Americans are going, come on! And they look behind them, and they're the only ones running.
There's nobody there. Yeah, 40% more have walked off their jobs. This is incredible. That's half the Iraqi security force.
Just the fact that they're trying to bring in Saddam's old guys, is unbelievable, because they're the only ones that know how to operate in that country. I think it's only a matter of time before they sort of, in the cuckoo's nest, they're going to McMurphy Saddam. They're going to give him a lobotomy and just push him back into the palace.
And say, yeah, here he is. But, and see, now, if you're a journalist and you're thinking about going over there, you might want to think again. Late report this morning says that masked gunmen shot and killed a French journalist in northern Baghdad, severely wounded his translator.
I think that what's concerning to me is that we're going to get less and less accurate reports of what's actually going on the ground in Iraq, because even last week, American news organizations, when the fighting was at its height, were telling people to stay indoors, stay in your hotel rooms. I mean, look out the window if you have to, kind of thing, but, we can't guarantee your safety.
Yep.
So the only way we can get accurate stuff out of Iraq is if people have native speakers who either look Iraqi or who are Iraqi and are either on websites or blogging or can get out on the streets with translators and not be noticed. It's not safe for news crews with cameras, especially American news crews with cameras, to be out on the streets. So we are going to have to rely more and more on official reports coming out of the military. And we know how biased they are. I mean, you see, whenever you get Pentagon briefings, everything is always, we're doing a good job, everything's okay.
And the weather's
hang
nice, and we're winning.
We're winning. We're gonna hang in there. We're gonna finish the job, and no cause for concern. Just a little bit of bombing and fighting, but hold on, sit in your armchairs, don't worry. And it's not like that. I mean, the British papers this morning are saying today that George Bush has no intention of putting more troops in. At a time where the Americans are saying, we need more troops.
That's because they just want to ask for money.
Well, generals are saying, we need more money. There are two generals today saying that Major General Martin Dempsey says the campaign in Iraq is at the critical point and we have to get this increase in violence under control.
Well, journalists, could also do what's very popular in journalism today to, just make it up.
Well, they're saying now that it was $700 million. Where have we heard that figure before?
Oh, wow.
But you know what they're denying the funds for? This is what blows me away, is the military already has identified unmet funding needs, including initiatives aimed at providing equipment and weapons for troops in Iraq. The Army has publicly identified nearly $6 billion in funding requests that did not make Bush's $402 billion defense budget for 2005. This is for, body armor, helmets, the proper underwear, automatic weapons. Yeah. But, it's the money that's being denied is directly, it's for the troops to operate effectively. And the reason he's denying it is because he doesn't want to do it this close to an election. He does not want to ask for money and bring it to the attention of the American people that this war is underfunded, and the reason he's not sending troops is not out of concern for the troops, but because the expenditure would be too big for him to make and convince the American people that it's worthy.
That's putting politics
before the priorities of human beings.
It must be another muzzle Chuck Hagel, the Republican member of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, who said, I love this quote, every ground squirrel in this country knows it's going to be $50 billion to $75 billion in additional money required to sustain us in Iraq for this year. Ground squirrel. Do they have ground squirrels there?
In Iraq?
Here, ground squirrels? It's like groundhog.
What is a ground squirrel?
Exactly.
It's a gopher of some kind.
Sometimes.
Call us and tell us what a ground squirrel is. Yeah.
Coming up, Mark Maron's Dream Diary, and we try to convert a conservative. All ahead on Air America Radio. But first, news headlines on the half hour.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. President Bush, speaking at the Associated Press annual meeting in Washington, says it's a hard job protecting the United States against terrorism. Bush also responded to an AP poll finding two-thirds of Americans think terrorists will strike the nation again. Iraqi officials spent the day yesterday connecting the dots over the spate of renewed violence in parts of the nation. They're pointing the finger of blame on al-Qaeda. Palestinian Prime Minister Ahmed Kahria is appealing to President Bush on his recent approval of an Israeli plan to increase its West Bank settlements, this at the same time seeking exemption from having to support Palestinian refugees. And former New York City Police Commissioner Bernard Kerik is playing partisan politics, suggesting yesterday that another 9/11 is imminent if Senator John Kerry or any other Democrat becomes president. Kerik, a huge cheerleader for President Bush, was police commissioner when the Twin Towers of the World Trade Center fell in New York in September 2001. Wayne Gilman, Air America Radio News.
In 1988, a weed appeared in the garden when George Herbert Walker Bush was sworn in as the 41st President of the United States. Over the next 4 years, that weed grew into a big bush. After a war with Iraq, a deficit buildup, and job losses at home, the people stormed the garden and chopped that bush down. but the conservative roots spread deep and wide and grew back. That little sprout grew into an even bigger bush. The son, George W. Bush, the 43rd President of the United States. Now, 4 years later, after another war with Iraq, another deficit buildup, and staggering job losses at home, it's time to weed the garden again. But this bush can't be trimmed. This bush needs to be ripped out by the roots. Help us weed the garden and go to our website at www.waxbush2004.com. It's time to wax Bush once and for all.
I'm Mark Riley with Sue Ellicott and Mark Maron here on Air America Radio. And despite gifts to the contrary, right now we're going to try to continue our missionary work here on Air America. As a young man, Pat Colabella strayed onto a wayward path. Cannolis and eclairs, I think. Once a devout Democrat, Pat fell from grace when he became a Republican during his wild and rebellious college years.
That was some wild decision.
I got the silent majority award. You remember that?
But we Democrats believe in forgiveness. So each week until the election, we will try to bring Pat back from the abyss, back from the brink, through the use of logic, fact, and if all else fails, mind control. Oh. We shall try to exorcise his political demons and convert Pat from the right to the light. That's right. We're going to
flip that conservative.
Right. How are we going to do it, though?
How are we going to do that?
He's bribing us with cannolis. He's bribing us.
He's coming with this big box, which is full of, what do you think, six cannolis, some chocolate eclair with fake rosebuds and frosting, a kind of layered pastry thing, and this thing looks like a U.S. tank, actually. It's like
it's
chocolate
mousse.
Oh, that's beautiful. Chocolate mousse with a strawberry
and
a disc. You're
making it sound bad.
Yeah, right. Like she's going to get a finger in it.
Sorry, I touched it. I had to eat it. My finger was in that one.
I'll hold you to that.
Hey, it's too early.
It's too early. Today, we're going to try and convince Pat Colabella that John Kerry is the better candidate when it comes to fighting air pollution.
Oh.
Welcome, Pat. How you doing?
It's not more exciting with you, Pat. Oh! Is what we need.
You know what? I'm getting high just looking at those cannolis.
Yeah, right? Now, we should let people know, for those who weren't here when Pat was with us the last time, he's a married man of 55, two married daughters, and recently has become a grandfather with another grandchild on the way.
That's right.
Lived his entire life in Bay Ridge, Brooklyn, attended his parish school, became a CPA in 1973, has a CPA practice for more than 30 years, and he is a professor of accounting and taxation at St. John's University in Queens and has been there for 18 years.
Mm.
So you've been around a little bit now. Now, it's Earth Day, Pat.
Earth Day.
Earth Day.
Ah.
You know, the tree-hugging thing.
It's the day where we appreciate...
Save the cockroaches or something?
No.
Save the planet, Pat.
Let me ask you...
It's rock we live on.
Let me ask you right off the top. You got one grandchild, another grandchild on the way.
Mm.
You want your grandchildren, as well as your family, to breathe clean air, don't you?
Oh, sure.
You like the idea of clean air.
Mm, sure.
Now, your candidate, your guy,
yeah.
George W. Bush, has been trying to roll back clean air standards. You know that?
No.
No. But he is.
As Michael Corleone says, that's a complete and utter falsehood.
It is a complete and utter falsehood. Yeah, but he said that in front of a committee when he knew good and well.
When he was lying.
He was lying.
And you guys are in a committee?
No, we are people waiting to eat pastry.
Yes.
That's it. You don't know what you've done here. You know,
I didn't know it would be such a hit. I mean, I actually...
You didn't know.
Some of my class.
This is subterfuge, man. I know what you did here. You brought this in to distract us.
To distract us.
So I don't want to distract you.
Let's get down to
talk about the environment. I'm ready.
Yeah, let's talk about the environment. The president seems to be against, certainly when it comes to things like gas, fuel economy, and those sorts of things. He doesn't seem to be in favor of tightening fuel economy standards. He really seems to be almost a counter-environmental president. But you say that's a complete false.
Well, I think that's a spin that the Democrats are trying to put on it. But I did a little research on this. I mean, I'm not exactly the
clean air king.
Yeah, but I did look up a few things, and I think that we have just a couple of statistics that I gathered. And I think that, let's just look at it this way. I think Vehicle miles traveled since 1970 have increased 155%. Energy consumption up 48%. U.S. population up 38%. Since 1970, emissions down 48%. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you have to put these things in perspective.
You mean you had to spin it your way?
No. This is right out of the EPA.
Okay. Well, I got stuff, too.
Oh, that's okay.
Keep going.
Okay. And then and as far as President Bush is concerned, I do believe that he has supported reductions in air pollution by these three categories, sulfur dioxide, mercury, and nitrous oxide, by 70%. And the Democrats wanted at 90%. And then looking at the overall, you know, the ability of the coal plants, the power plants to reduce emissions, there's aged regulations and there's upgrades that, you know, you really have to rethink your standards every time as time goes by. And if you rethink your standards, you might realize that the standards are not attainable. So I'm not sure that you know, you kind of say the guy is the worst president in the world with respect to air pollution. I think you have to look at some of the facts.
But why do you think it is that he, for example, is in favor of delaying deadlines for full implementation of Clean Air Act standards? Why does it always seem to be delaying things? Why does it always seem to be relaxing certain standards? Why
he's putting all this money into a hydrogen car. Do you know how long it's going to build a hydrogen car? Do you know when that's going to become a reality?
I'm so glad he's doing that.
Yeah, but it's like 30 years away, Pat.
Yeah, BMW has one.
And there's no money going into anything else like regulating power plants from dumping stuff. You know how much asthma has gone up?
A lot.
The kids can't breathe, Pat. Uh-huh. They can't breathe because after a certain point, you know, the pollutants are going to, like, they're going to suffocate us. How do you think it's not going to happen? Do you think this is some sort of unclosed system?
Cannolis will fix everything.
No. I think what I've got here is that, let's see, George Bush's so-called Clear Skies proposal will result in 21 million tons of more pollution and 100,000 more premature deaths. This is alarmist stuff, okay? I mean, this is somebody coming up with a numbers that are just there to scare people. I'm not sure that this stuff is correct.
Okay, if it's not, though, you will acknowledge that he is talking about rolling things back. He is talking about relaxing standards.
I rolling back is a loaded term. I think you have to look at reevaluating standards. I mean, I teach accounting, and there's a thing you teach in cost accounting about ideal standards and currently attainable standards. And I think that's where he's going. Okay. So, you know, I can't say for sure. I'm not a scientist with respect to that.
Okay, all these statistics, they're rattling, they're kind of hurting my head, especially when I'm trying to resist these pastries. But, you know, is it okay that Donald Rumsfeld goes to work in a black gas-guzzling bulletproof SUV?
Well, don't you?
I don't think it's okay.
I have a black SUV. It's parked outside.
Really? No, I have a scooter. I have one of those foot-pedal scooters, which uses up absolutely zero except the heel of my right shoe. But don't you think that they maybe could set some kind of standard and you know, convert their giant vehicles into less fuel-guzzling versions? I mean, you can equip these things to not pollute the environment.
Well that's spit in the ocean. But
if everybody spat, if you had the whole country spitting, that, you know, maybe it would go up a millimeter.
Well,
that's kind of
hard to do. You have to start someplace. I think overall, we're looking at, since 1970, where we did start someplace, emissions have been reduced by 48%. I mean, this is at EPA standards. So we are breathing cleaner air.
Yeah, right. From the original things that the Clean Air Act that Nixon put into place, but, you know, through...
Nixon, he's a Republican, right?
Yeah, you like him. But the truth of the matter is that either through Congress or around Congress, Bush is trying to cut away at that Clean Air Act to deregulate. Mm-hmm. Yes, he is.
Wouldn't you have said in 1970 that the standards that we have now were unattainable?
No.
No?
I mean,
there were people that opposed the Clean Air Act probably said the same thing.
Well, here, look. Bush's Clear Skies initiative delays deadlines for meeting Clean Air Act standards, allowing violations of certain smog levels to continue until 2015 or later. Bush's plan allows more than twice as much sulfur dioxide for nearly a decade longer than the Clean Air Act currently allows. Sulfur dioxide comes from power plants and causes soot and smog. The 1970 Clean Air Act requires deep reductions in sulfur dioxide and nitrogen oxide, chemical pollutants produced by power plants that cause soot and smog and cause between 30,000 and 60,000 premature deaths each year. All right, so these deaths, you know, if his policy of cutting back the Clean Air Act happens, are going to escalate. Asthma is going to escalate. All these things are going to escalate in the name of deregulation. So business can go on as usual.
Speculation. There's no true cause and effect.
Wait, but you're an accountant. Isn't speculation worth something when it comes to numbers? Can't you take facts about how many people have died and say, like, well, let's say that will escalate as it gets worse, which it will get worse, right?
Only actuaries know when you're going to die.
Okay.
No. But I mean, people have died, right? So there's plenty of evidence that they've died.
Yeah, 3,000 people in the World Trade Center.
Yeah, but pollutants from deregulating this 1970 Clean Air Act, people will die more.
I think we're not going to get any cannoli next week. We're going to get a matzah.
But isn't that right, though?
No. If someone could show a direct cause and effect relationship, then your argument may have credibility, but it doesn't.
Let's look at another cause.
Wait. Let me just ask you something. So you're saying that you can't speculate when clearly, you know, that if somebody eats a lot, they're going to get fat, right?
Yeah.
So when the air gets bad, I understand. So you know that you can speculate for yourself that if you eat more, you're going to get weight. If you eat three of these cannolis, you're going to get weight. So if the air gets worse, can't we speculate that more people will die because of the deregulation that Bush supports?
But you're assuming that.
Assuming, but it's based on a logical argument.
No. That's a Russian rule that you're doing. It's like, let's discuss the fact that he rolled things back. That's not the case. He is talking about a lesser standard, okay, rather than a rollback. He's not talking about not having a standard at all.
But you just said
he's talking about getting a more attainable standard rather than.
But rollback is.
You guys want 90%, and he's offering 70%, and he's saying this is more practical, and that as far as the ability of the institutions that are actually spending money to control pollution, those are the ones that have to put out the money, and the regulations are forcing them not to do it. Okay.
But what is the Act mandate?
But that responsibility.
What percentage does the Act mandate?
There's no mandates here.
But
okay.
But the responsibility of taking responsibility for output of pollutants, it lies on the corporate pollutants, and he's allowing them to work around that, you know, through deregulating this.
To a certain extent, yeah. Okay, and I think you have to have this. Look, there's compromise everywhere. Okay, you can't just sit on a standard and saying this is it, and we have to do this, and there's no turning back.
But even maintaining the standard that was in place by your guy Nixon would be better than cutting it back. The only reason he's cutting it back
he's
is for
not
economic
cutting it back.
Reason. He is cutting it back.
No, he is cutting it back.
I don't understand why, if something can be done, if you can improve the fuel efficiency on cars, why you just can't do it as fast as possible. Why you have to take years and years? Okay? Anyway, I don't want to drive a Hummer H2, even if I could afford it. Let's see what Mark's going to be dreaming about. Fuel standards, Mark. I hope that's in your dream. Up ahead, we have Mark Maron's dream diary, and we want to hear whether you think that conservatives will ever see the light. We'll take your calls at 866-303-AAR0.
Pat, thanks.
Air America Radio. Enjoy our leftovers.
Imagine if flowers fell from the sky.
Imagine if there were no bombs.
Imagine there's no heaven.
Imagine if everybody was happy.
It's easy if you try.
Imagine if everyone would live in peace and harmony.
No hell below us.
Imagine if there were no borders.
Imagine a worldwide movement that works to protect the dignity and rights of every man, woman, and child.
Imagine all the people.
And imagine it works. That's Amnesty International. Join the millions around the globe who support basic human rights. Call 1-800-AMNESTY or visit amnestyusa.org, and the world will live as one.
At Volunteers of America, we don't just give kids a way to stay off the streets. We give them the tools they need to reach their full potential. We don't just help the elderly receive needed care. We help them live life to the fullest. We don't just provide food for homeless individuals and families. We provide job training and placements so they can buy groceries. Volunteers of America is a national organization that for over 100 years has provided programs and services that allow people to overcome their challenges to become vital members of their community. At Volunteers of America, we don't just help people. We help people help themselves. Find out how you can support the programs that are working in your community. Contact Volunteers of America today. Call 1-800-899-0089. That's 1-800-899-0089.
Many women today are not aware that legal abortion in the United States hangs by a 5-4 margin in the Supreme Court. And though Americans overwhelmingly support a woman's right to choose, that right is being eroded every single day. Hi, I'm Kathy Najimy, and this is your wake-up call. I'm a feminist, I believe in a lot of things, and I really believe in reproductive freedom. I'm standing up with women from around the country and around the world, women whose lives are endangered by restricted U.S. policies. Please join me in the March for Women's Lives on April 25th in the nation's capital. We want to make it the biggest protest that Washington, D.C. has ever seen. Now, if you're thinking it's a lot of trouble, get on a bus, get in a car to get to Washington, D.C. to march, think about how much trouble it would be if they took away your right to choose. For more information, go to feminist.org. That's feminist.org. It's time to make some noise, people. I'll see you in Washington.
The O'Franken Factor.
What Woodward said in the book is that Colin Powell basically said to the president, you break it, you belong.
Air America's Al Franken.
We called the Pottery Barn today, and that is not their policy.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
I guess it's Powell that didn't talk to the PR person at the Pottery Barn.
That's right. Yeah. So Powell completely was getting his intelligence wrong.
Mm-hmm.
That's what happened at the UN, evidently.
Al Franken and Catherine Lanfer, weekdays noon to 3 on Air America Radio.
Good morning. It's 48 past the hour, and we're taking your calls at 866-303-AAR0. That's 866-303-2270. Call us here at Morning Sedition on Air America. It's now time to do a new thing I'm doing. I'm actually going to my therapist today. Thank God.
Yeah, we're relieved.
Yes. Yeah, but I've been writing my dreams down in this sort of weird scrawly gibberish, so I can bring them in, and I've been sharing some of them on the air here. And I'd like to share my dream diary for last night.
Okay.
Here we go. Okay, so, all right, here we go. Let me try and read my writing. I'm on a patrol boat in Vietnam. It's incredibly hot, and I'm wearing camo face paint, right? The Stones are playing Satisfaction. John Kerry is on deck with me, all right? He has a huge purple heart hanging around his neck, and he's, like, dancing around in circles, and he's sweating. And every time he spins around, he's wearing more medals, every time. And the boat is sort of listing because the medals, it keeps getting heavier and heavier, and he's, like, you know, he's being, like, the boat is actually sinking because of the medals, and he's laughing, and he yells at me. He yells, I released all my military records, man, and it freaks me out. And then his head just melts into gibberish. I don't even know what that means, but it's kind of poetic.
It's like
then,
little letters.
Yeah, just like
out of his head.
Yeah, it was, you know how in dreams you can't describe things, right? All right. Okay. Then I'm in a helicopter. Okay, and I'm flying over a rice paddy with John McCain. All right. And so I scream in slow motion, "Is this man electable?" And McCain screams, "He's all we've got. Give him a chance." And then he breaks apart into several small John McCains, and they start jumping out of the helicopter. All right. Then I'm back on the boat like a month later. We arrive at a scary outdoor party, and Kerry takes a machete out and cuts Bush in half in a ritual slaying, and the blood is everywhere. The horror. The horror. Then I wake up. My sheets were tied in knots, hanging out the window. My alarm clock was upside down, and I was covered in blood and sweating. What does that mean?
Nice. This makes Barton Fink look lovely.
Yeah.
What does it mean? It means I've seen Apocalypse Now way too many times. So give us a call. Are we going to calls right now? Kathy in Manhattan. Hello, Kathy.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm pretty good. How are you?
I'm hanging in there.
It's a nice day. What's that?
This guy's numbers came from the same EPA as the EPA that was forced to lie about the conditions downtown after 9/11.
Good point. And everybody who lived here who was here at that time knew that they could not be telling the truth because that heinous, chemically smell was around for, what, 3 months, 4 months?
Let me tell you, I lived in Brooklyn at the time, and all of that, we had layers of dust, papers, I mean, personnel papers, all kinds of stuff, which is littered all over.
It's horrifying. And I think that's a good point, you know, because all numbers, like, everybody gets their own, everybody gets numbers from wherever they're going to get them to prove their point. But the truth of the matter is, just as a person living on the planet, you know when the pollution is getting worse because, you know, you have a hard time breathing. Sometimes your eyes, are itchy. People are driving more. It's just, it's plain common sense. There is no argument for that.
It's true. Whenever I'd come back to L.A. when I was living there for years and I'd been anywhere else, I would have a sore throat when I would wake up every morning and my eyes would hurt. So
yeah, how do people rationalize that? Like, yeah, it's one of those, you know, weird L.A. days.
Yeah, well,
where
what they do is they go off and then they go off and see a doctor and then they get medicine. They were trying to give me all sorts of nose sprays and throat sprays and tell me I had allergies. Like, no, I did not. I was polluted.
The power of denial on an individual level is daunting, but on a collective level, it's mind-blowing because there is no way that you can, honestly deny that the thing is, the jig is almost up, dude.
Well, that brings up the question, how seriously people actually take Earth Day? I mean, is it just for a bunch of tree huggers or, I remember there was a time when Earth Day was taken seriously by a lot of, we'd have huge rallies in Manhattan. Not anymore.
I mean, well, people are too busy out there looking for jobs. They haven't got time. Let's get some callers. 1-866-303-AAR0. That's 1-866-303-2270. We're waiting for your calls here on Morning's Edition at Air America.
Chris, Manhattan. How are you?
Good morning.
What's up? What's on your mind, man?
I can't understand. I'm really nervous.
Okay, take it easy.
Relax.
It's early, and we're just hanging out.
First of all, smoking a big cigar here on Earth Day, enjoying it.
Ooh, what kind? What kind?
Rufus.
You're smoking a cigar at 10 to 7 in the morning, dude?
Yeah.
Have you been up all night? Are you just getting out of the strip club or what?
No.
All right, man. What's on your mind?
Anyway, I don't understand. Don't from there to this tree hugger attitude, you'd be surprised. But I don't understand. The United States has set standards throughout history for democracy, for economic development and everything like that. And, like Kennedy back in the 60s with the space program.
Right.
This country should take an initiative to push environmental products.
No kidding,
right? It's good for the industry.
And for the world.
Absolutely. I went to an environmental convention.
Yeah.
And most of these products are coming from China and from other parts of the world. And if you go to Europe and you see things are so much more efficient than they are in this country, and I can't comprehend. Just on a practical level, why wouldn't we be pushing to get things more
at par with environmental safety?
Not only that, but use less gas. It's just a mindset in this country that bigger is better.
I think we work well together, Chris.
It's because
you have so much space. I mean, you have to be efficient and to be imaginative about how you save fuel. First of all, the fuel has to cost more, so there's an incentive for saving it. But also, you have to live in kind of tiny, crammed spaces too close to people. That's what you do in Europe. I mean, the streets are tiny, the houses
are
tiny.
So you make smaller cars and make more
gas. Yeah, the plumbing doesn't work. You have no closets in your house.
Yeah,
so
but
you have to have, labor. You have to have fuel-saving, tiny appliances, small cars.
No,
and a decent public transport system. You can't do anything here because Americans are so reliant on their cars.
Well,
if you live in the middle of Oklahoma,
yeah, you can't
and it takes 3 hours to get to the mall by bus to get a job, there's no public transport.
But I'll tell you one thing. I was in Beijing, and
one dirty city.
The air is almost unbreathable. So, I mean, if China is setting standards or manufacturing things to protect the environment, it's because they have gotten to the point of no return. And because America's are Americans and American industry should be progressive enough to realize that we don't have to get to that point. But you go to some areas in Texas, George Bush had the worst, environmental record of any government in the state. Everything was bad when he was there because he just let things go and he pandered to business over people's health and safety.
You ever driven through manufacturing plants?
You ever driven
through
Corpus Christi? It's one big, manufacturing plant, and the air is like, it's awful. Literally, it sticks to your windshield.
But see, the question I have is, if Americans really aren't into any of this, how come there's such a waiting list to buy the Toyota Prius?
Because people are trying to do their part. You're absolutely right, man. My wife is like, you know, I can't wait till we can afford one.
Yes, I do. Honestly.
The issue of the Prius is like, you know, it's still pretty pricey.
You know, that is the problem, is that when you come to buy a car, I mean, I did own very briefly a Toyota SUV some years ago. It's because when I came to ditch my 1986 Golf convertible that had been smashed in a hit-and-run accident outside my house in L.A., I did the pricing of cars that you could fit a family into, and they were so expensive. If you want a decent-sized car, pretty much all the American car companies have given up on old-fashioned station wagons, and you're forced to either get a minivan or an SUV. And the SUVs are generally cheaper and more spacious and have better safety records.
The Prius has more interior room than the Camry.
Yeah, there's...
Let's go to... we got to go to another call.
Let's
Doug
go to Tennessee,
in Tennessee.
Man.
Hey, guys.
Hey. What's up, Doug?
I work in the, in heavy industry. And I hear this a lot, but the standards are too high. We can't attain them. And, you know, I always say, well, what's an acceptable level? And they're always shrugging their shoulders. But I say, well, let's put this in perspective. Let's grab a 10-gallon bucket of water, and I'll get a pair of tweezers and start adding grains of rat poison to the water. And you tell me when I put too much in there for you or your kids.
You know, Doug, that is a really, really good point.
It's also a bottom line issue, but he's absolutely right. But these guys are willing to protect their bottom line to the point where they, you know, when, you know, it's like, remember years ago you'd hear about that in peanut butter, there's a certain amount of rat poo and rat hair that's allowed to be in peanut butter. I mean, even the idea that, and even us after hearing that, sort of like, you want peanut butter and jelly? Yeah, I like peanut butter and jelly. That we're willing to accept certain things that are completely unacceptable, and the only reason they sell it to us as being acceptable is they're trying to protect their bottom line. That's it.
Well, if you see the soap stuff in the river, that's, I mean, remember, 20 years ago, you used to see that all the time.
Oh, yeah, when it was all sudsy and weird.
Sudsy and weird, yeah. And you know, it was polluted, ultimately polluted, and it took the Clean Air Act and people working at it and a bunch of Earth Days to get it done. Still ahead on Air America Radio, Mark Maron's Morning Devotional, the rise of the gay militia, and up next, fighting terror is hard. Really, really
it's a big
hard.
Country.
Stay with us on Air America.
I want to thank you for remembering to recycle, and I want to let you know the recycling program has been completely restored. Every week we're now collecting glass bottles and jars, along with plastic bottles and jugs, metal cans, aluminum foil, beverage cartons, and drink boxes. And don't forget to recycle your mixed paper and corrugated cardboard. Just set out recyclables in clear bags or your recycling containers. If you have any questions or need container decals, please call 311. Thanks for doing your part, New York.
Here's the 2-1.
Swing it onward! It is!
Hi, I'm Barry Bonds for RAD, recording artists, actors, and athletes against drunk driving. In my league, we hit home runs without a designated hitter. But if you want to get home safe, there should always be a designated driver. So when you're with someone who is drinking, please take their keys. Call a cab or drive them home yourself, because friends don't let friends drive drunk.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
You're listening to 1190 WLIB New York, the home of Air America Radio.
In the next hour of Morning Sedition here on Air America, defending the country is hard. We'll tell you who's complaining about it. Plus, we'll take a much-needed visit to the recovery corner. But first, in a matter of seconds, the headlines.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. More violence in Iraq this morning. Masked gunman shot and killed a foreigner in northern Baghdad. The victim has been identified as a French journalist. His translator was also wounded in the attack. Incident occurred in a section of the capital where gunmen have been active, but there's been no immediate confirmation of the report. Relations between the United States and Saudi Arabia have hit the skids, Washington Post has reported. The U.S. Consul General in the country, Gina Abercrombie Winstanley, last month suffered verbal abuse from a Saudi religious policeman who spat in his hand and rubbed it on the sole of his shoe. This after she identified herself as a U.S. diplomat while trying to enter a local restaurant after evening prayers. The relations between the countries began to decline when the Bush administration in 2002 pushed for political, social, and economic change in Saudi Arabia. Saudi officials say yesterday's bombing in Riyadh has all the characteristics of an al-Qaeda terrorist attack. Four people were killed outside the security building after a suicide bombing attack. Close to 150 were wounded. The explosion was so powerful, it was felt 3 miles away. It's a hard job protecting the United States against terrorism, says President Bush. He spoke at the Associated Press annual meeting yesterday in Washington and responded to an AP poll which found that two-thirds of Americans think terrorists are likely to strike the nation again.
I can understand why they're going to get hit again. They saw what happened in Madrid. This is a hard country to defend.
Bush also promised that the United States will not cut and run in Iraq as long as he's president, but a senior Democrat Senator Robert Byrd of West Virginia was on the Senate floor yesterday asking what exactly the president has in mind.
What is meant by stay the course? Is it we furnish more of our young men and women as cannon fodder to die in the streets of Iraq?
Longtime West Virginia Democrat Senator Robert Byrd. You're listening to Air America Radio News.
You're driving home. Which route should you take? You're coming up to the exit. You have 10 seconds to decide. 9, 8, 7. Better tune into XM Satellite Radio with an entire channel devoted to 24-hour instant traffic and weather for your area so you can always get non-stop, in-depth traffic and weather. This year, you'll get over 120 digital channels of music, news, sports, and talk. Check out XM Satellite Radio at stores like Best Buy and Circuit City. Required monthly subscription and hardware sold separately. Activation fee applies.
Hi, I'm Joe Perry.
I'm Steven Tyler from Aerosmith, here for RAD. Recording artists, actors, and athletes against drunk driving. Yeah, you know we love it when the music does the talking.
And you know, the music stops when someone gets killed.
So never, 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 never let someone you know get behind the wheel if they've been drinking. So keep it real, keep it real. Friends, don't let friends drive drunk.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Islamic nations opened an emergency meeting today in Malaysia and will urge the UN to take a key role in Iraq after Washington transfers authority in June. Malaysia's prime minister told delegates from the Organization of the Islamic Conference that the situation in the Middle East was alarming and that American actions in Iraq could destabilize the region.
The rationale for the invasion has already proven to be without foundation. Gone are the joy and jubilation of some Iraqis with the collapse of the regime of Saddam Hussein. What we see today is nothing less than the fierce resistance of people against what is increasingly seen as an occupation force.
Some Muslim nations have indicated they may join the coalition in Iraq if there is a UN mandate. Veteran Democrat and former New York City Mayor Ed Koch may be sticking it to his lifelong party. Koch has decided to take on a high-profile role, helping the Republican National Party recruit volunteers for its national convention in New York this summer. Wayne Gilman, Air America Radio News.
Welcome to the Hot House Cafe. What can I get you?
Hello, Flo.
Oh, it's you, Mr. Wildfire. You're looking incendiary today. What can I get you, sweet pea?
Let's see. I'm so hungry I could consume a neighborhood.
Uh-huh.
I think I'll start with the toasted woodshake shingle sandwich.
All right. Super salad, baby doll.
And the backyard dry brush salad looks delicious. I'll have that.
Okie dokie, with or without succulents?
Without. You know I can't stand water-retaining plants.
Oh, that's right.
And for dessert, I'd like an old gazebo sundae, sprinkled with irreplaceable photos and family heirlooms.
Anything to drink, Father?
Lawnmower gasoline. Unless you have some carelessly stored paint thinner.
I think we just might.
Goody.
Knowing what Wildfire likes to eat is half the battle. Visit firewise.org to find out how you can help make your home more defensible against wildfires. That's firewise.org, a public service brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Well, good morning, everybody. Will you parents please settle down so I can take the classroom attendance? Thank you. Okay, here we go. Brittany's mom and dad.
Present.
Present.
Justin's mom.
Present.
Lisa's dad. I said Lisa's dad. Well, maybe he's on his way. I hope he makes it. Lisa really needs his support. You know, your life can be hectic, but that's really no excuse. You have to get involved in your child's education. It will make a difference, believe me, whether it's checking homework or visiting with the teacher. Be present in your child's classroom. There's always a seat open with your name on it. Well, look who just showed up. Lisa's dad.
Yes, I made it. Present.
There are many ways to get involved in your child's school. Discover how. Call 1-800-281-1313. Or visit www.schoolsuccessinfo.org. A message brought to you by the Ad Council and Partners for Public Education, a partnership for the NAACP and People for the American Way Foundation.
Gary Boland, COVID technician on reality television.
Oh, you mean the news?
On global warming.
I love summer.
And on business broadband.
I'm glad you asked. You know, the key to choosing broadband is the same as any business decision. It's value. At COVID, you get broadband built for business for less than the local phone company's repackaged residential plans. In fact, your business could save hundreds of dollars a year with COVID. Plus, with the security of SDSL dedicated lines and 99.9% uptime guaranteed, you can relax, knowing your business isn't going to hit a brick wall. Now, I could go on.
Gary Boland on astrology.
Well, I've always wanted to go to space.
Business broadband. COVID knows it like nobody else. To get broadband billed for business, call 1-800-555-0454. Plus, get a free router after mail-in rebate through June 30th, 2004 when your business signs up at 1-800-555-0454 or gocovid.com. See website for guaranteed details and availability. Saving based on published rates, March 10th, 2004.
Hey, I'm Mark Maron here with Sue Ellicott and Mark Riley on Air America Radio. It's 7 past the hour, and this is Morning Sedition.
All right, today here on Morning Sedition, I'll have our devotional coming up. Plus, who knows when the gay militia will strike. We'll get to that story as well. I mean, is anyone safe? A gay militia? Is anyone safe? After, like now, like, you know, I ran 5 miles last night, you know, because I'm trying to get down to the fighting weight that I was, you know, whenever that was.
Whenever you fought.
Yeah.
That's the weight you have on your driver's license, the one we all cheat on?
I don't know. I just felt better. It's like this, the life of a cave dweller isn't working for me. But now, like, Pat brings in these, like, I just ate half a Napoleon, and I know there's other cannolis around. My problem, man, if I start with those things, I can't stop. I'll eat sugar for 3 days. You know why? Because I got a problem. But it is Earth Day. It is Earth Day. And I feel bad for the Earth. Can you just think about the Earth's place in the galaxy? You know, it's floating around the galaxy, this sad rock that we're all on. Other planets are looking at it going, oh, there's Earth. You know what I mean? Like, you know, kind of pitying, like, I think it's got the virus. You know what I mean? Like, Earth has, like, got the, you know, what virus is that? Humanity. Isn't that deep, man? It's polluted. We're polluting the planet, and it's dying. I just like the idea of Earth kind of going through the, you know, sort of like waving at other planets, going, help, they're killing me. You know, now we're spreading to other planets. You know, we're going to Mars, we're going to the moon, and we're shooting little spores up into space to take pictures. The planets are freaking out. I think eventually the whole galaxy is going to be like, let's get out of here, man. These humans are trouble.
Doesn't Earth go all big-headed and go, but I'm the one with my own TV show?
I don't know. I think the Earth is ill and surrounded by this cloud of gas, and the, you know, other planets are sort of like, man, the moon's probably like, and I'm stuck orbiting it. Think about me.
You know, this morning it looked like certainly New York was surrounded by a cloud of gas. It was like this fog.
Isn't that weird when fog hits New York?
Yeah.
Fog is like in San Francisco, it's there all the time. I lived there for a couple years.
Yeah.
And it's really pretty. You know, it's kind of weird and eerie. But when New York, when it gets covered with fog, you're like, uh-oh. What's happening?
You worry about people having, like, chain accidents and stuff.
I didn't even notice that. It was so dark when I came out. Was it really? There was fog?
When you come over to George Washington Bridge,
just one
it's
big
like,
fog.
Yeah, no, you go over the bridge, you can tell. Because you couldn't see on the other side. You couldn't see Manhattan. That's how bad it was.
Yeah, I came over the bridge. Did I notice that? I was busy having some sort of weird Zen moment with the quietness of it, you know. It's weird when I leave the house, you see those, like, few sort of stragglers coming in from their partying, you know.
And, yeah.
The girl that lives upstairs all,
really? I just see people cleaning the street, you know, sandblasting the street. I see everybody, I see, you know, city crews kind of cleaning up sidewalks, people in, you know, washing floors inside cafes and restaurants. It's like there seem to be more people out there working at 2:30, 3 in the morning.
And then they're saying, there's a girl on the scooter again with her hat.
I'm not in on a scooter at 2:30 in the morning.
I
only scoot two blocks up until where I can actually get a cab, and then I fold it up and get in, and the guy looks at me. Actually, I do have a hard time getting a cab because they all look at me with this folded up metal contraption and think maybe I've got some kind of weird machine
gun.
You're
Mary Poppins.
No, they do a double take.
Mary Poppins with a pipe bomb.
Look, when I flick my fingers and my house gets tidied up, then you can laugh, okay?
I need someone to tidy up my house. It's ridiculous.
Don't count on me. I'm not setting foot inside your house unless
my
you pay me.
Very nice.
Okay.
And really, all it would take is money?
Yeah, but more than you have.
All right, okay. So what's going on? Bush Cheney going to testify together, as always.
How romantic.
Mutt and Jeff, they're testifying on, I believe, the 29th, is it? Yes.
Yeah, a week from today.
Thursday. Heaven forbid they should muck up their Friday and not get out of town early.
Well, Michael Jackson's on the 30th. Maybe we can pull Cheney in to work with him as well.
That would be nice.
Michael Cheney. Michael Jackson and Dick Cheney.
He's bad. I can't, I don't understand why Bush would allow this vice. I mean, there's been no vice president in history that has been allowed to wield
to run the
this
country.
Kind of. I mean, you know, the vice president was usually a job. You kind of stay in the corner. You're the president pro tem of the Senate. You stand up every now and then, bang a gavel. But now this guy goes out to Virginia, tells the CIA what intelligence they should pay attention to.
You know, it's even more disturbing about it is how many Americans are really comfortable with the setup.
Yeah,
it's
they
like
are.
They know it. They innately know it. I'm no longer buying this idea that, you know, that people really don't realize things. They know that Bush is sort of like this kind of like, you know, kind of, you know, mildly charming rube, you know, that doesn't have, and he's not even a rube. He's actually a guy playing a rube. He's a waspy kid who, you know, grew up in Texas, who resented his dad and said, look, I'm going to be a Texan just because I hate what you are. And now he's, you know, he's coming off as this sort of, you know, managerial, charming rube. And everyone knows that Dick's running the country to the point where they actually say, like, hey, you know, I feel kind of bad for George. You know, don't beat up on George. You're president.
Really? None of my friends say that.
Well, you don't have your ear to the street, man.
People are feeling bad for George.
Yes.
Yeah, I think, you know what?
Where do you think the word Bush bashing comes from? That whole angle of, like, you know, you're a Bush basher. Like, you know, if the guy can't defend himself, if they have to, you know, sort of stick up for their president, what kind of leader is that accuse people of Bush bashing?
I thought you were saying that people who are against Bush, liberals who are against Bush, kind of feel bad. And
No.
That's what I was
no.
stunned by.
No.
Okay.
No, well, that's maybe...
All right.
These are his supporters that they feel
the beginning of
No, I mean, Bush is... what's incredible to me is that with all of this bad news... I hate to say it, hate to bring this up, but his poll numbers are going up. His approval ratings are going up.
I'm tired of these polls, though, because, like, flip-flop with the polls. And we see that Kerry is slightly ahead last week. Now is a poll showing that it's gone the other way and that the Bush is slightly ahead. And there's another poll, which is done by somebody else, which says something slightly different.
Means nothing.
I think you just just ignore all these polls.
Poll
okay?
numbers are in themselves coercive. They're used to mess with people's heads.
I just think the people who get paid to do these polls are laughing all the way to the bank. I mean, of course things are going to go up and down and up and down. And no one really tells the truth to these polls anyway, and you can find even the day before, if you ask people how they're going to vote, if they think that somebody wants you to say something, they'll just say it. They don't really tell you the truth.
Well, the polls are not about the people that are polled. They're not even about the people taking the poll. They are about raising money.
It is really?
Fundraising.
They're about raising
John
money.
Kerry would not have been able to raise $42 million in the last quarter if he was not competitive according to these polls. The people that open their wallets read these polls and they're not backing anybody that looks like they have no chance of winning.
But also the newspapers and the news and the wires and the internet sites and TV shows, they love all these
and
polls.
And the Pony Express.
Everybody loves these things because they can just fill up space. It's just product. It's just a story.
Slow news.
they can get, hey, carries up or carries down, carries up again. No, Bush, no, they're level. Oh. It just, my head hurts. I'm having such a headache today.
I think that, I think they're just coercive. I don't think there's any reason to trust numbers. I mean, we couldn't trust numbers when it came to, you know, corporate accounting. I think these numbers are the same. They're just being used to sort of like to make us go, wow, he's up again 3 points. Oh, he's down again 3 points. I mean, how can they even be that specific? No one ever asks me anything. The truth of the matter is we have a president who cannot go, you know, he cannot speak for himself in front of an intelligence committee. Huh?
Yeah, you're right.
He can't speak for himself. I mean, it's like that. I mean, that's what we're talking about, as light as we want to make or whatever jokes we want to make. The guy is going before the panel with Cheney because he is incapable of speaking for himself. And this is the president. And people who sympathize with that, who know that he's incapable of speaking for himself and still support him, you know, are undermining what America is about.
How about this? Yesterday, he said that, you know, he wasn't surprised that the American public thinks that there's going to be a terrorist attack on U.S. soil. Well, look, come on, no kidding, given that Condoleezza Rice, his national security advisor, told us only some days ago that the terrorist groups would find the election, quote, too good to pass up.
Yeah, but that's, they're almost like baiting him. They're
exactly.
Also like going back on everything he said, that, you know, he's a wartime president. The war on terror is winnable. You know, we're better on terror. And now the whole, he's changing his tune to, hey, there's no reason to feel safe. You know, it's so important to be afraid because, you know, I'm still working on this, but you don't want to change captains in the middle because we've got a handle on this. But clearly he doesn't have a handle, and he's provoking fear.
He's not the war president. He's the fan the flames president.
Now, that's
his
new one.
I'll make you feel as bad as I really want you to feel. I'll hold your hand. We need to go to Recovery Corner. We really need to go to Recovery Corner with Mark. But first, we're going to hear from a well-regulated gay militia here on Air America.
Air America Radio. Quiet commentary at the top of our lungs.
Hello.
Hello. This is Danny Glover.
Danny Glover?
I'm giving a wake-up call to every man in America. Mr. Johnson, did you know that at every age, American men have poorer health and a higher risk of mortality than women? Men experience higher instances of death due to hypertension, cancer, stress, HIV, and depression. As a matter of fact, men live sicker and die sooner from all but one of the leading causes of death. We take more risks, handle stress differently, and are less likely to schedule checkups or to follow up when symptoms arise. If you really want to be a man and take care of your family, you can start by taking care of yourself. So schedule an appointment with a doctor and find out what might go wrong before it does.
I'll call today. And thank you.
You're welcome.
For more information, contact the W.K. Kellogg Foundation at WKKF.org.
Planet. I never thought about the problems of this planet at all.
That's Fat Mike from the punk band NoFX and PunkVoter.com.
Well, PunkVoter.com is the organization we started after the 2000 presidential election, and we've been building it for almost 4 years now. We've got a couple hundred bands that all are taking a stand.
Billy Joe from Green Day, The Offspring, and Jane Wheeland from The Go-Go's have also jumped on the bandwagon.
No Doubt have just joined up with us, and the Foo Fighters. What George Bush is doing, he's dismantling 30 years of environmental law. He's a scary man. He's not a compassionate conservative. He's a religious fundamentalist.
Check out www.punkvoter.com for news items and t-shirts for sale.
The more money we get, the more advertisement we're doing, and the more bands we can get on the road to educate the kids of America on what's going on.
That's Planet Check.
Planet Check is possible thanks to catmail.com, where environmentally conscious Americans get their internet access for free. Catmail.com, helping people and the planet. And the planet.
If you have diabetes, you already know you could develop kidney failure, lose a limb, or go blind. But did you know that 2 out of 3 people with diabetes actually die from heart disease or stroke? If you have diabetes, you can lower your risk of heart attack or stroke by lowering your blood sugar, blood pressure, and cholesterol. Get plenty of exercise, eat healthy, and don't smoke. Ask your doctor to tell you about other ways to lower your chance of a fatal heart attack or stroke. The link between diabetes and heart disease is strong. Ask your doctor to tell you more or call 1-800-DIABETES. That's 1-800-DIABETES. Or visit us online at www.diabetes.org. A message from the American Diabetes Association and the American College of Cardiology.
The Air America phones are ringing off the hook.
I wish sometimes the Dems were as ruthless as their pugs, as I call them.
Everyone's calling Air America Radio.
If you legalize consumption of drugs for consenting adults, would you agree to tax them?
866-303-AAR0. Call and let it rip.
I wish we had freedom. I mean, we're down to two telephone companies trying to deal with their bureaucracy. At least with the government, you have a choice.
Air America Radio. We're listening.
Mark Maron here with Sue Ellicott and Mark Riley on Morning Sedition here on Air America. I just heard that PSA about diabetes as I was inhaling the Napoleon, like this multi-layered butter, sugar, cream cake with icing on it. Oh, my God. All right, it is now time, and this is hot off the press, actually, for our morning devotional. Each day on Morning Sedition, we join hands and humbly ask the Heavenly Father for his guidance in the coming day. Oh, higher Father! We offer this prayer for your servant, George W. Bush, and his servant-slash-boss, Dick Cheney. After months of courting, they have finally set a date to appear before you and the 9/11 Commission. The day in which a president and his vice president join together to concoct lies about a terrible tragedy is usually the happiest day of their entire lives. So, Lord, help them nurture each other to love, honor, and obey, and not rat each other out when things get desperate, because they will. May this union between these two soulmates be truly a blessing unto us and all until the sad day when they finally must part, which we hope will be in January. Amen. That's been our devotional. That's touching. Powerful.
Mm. Yeah, I thought I should light some incense.
Yeah. Why not light some incense? Don't put on any Grateful Dead music. That's Al's thing.
That's Al's thing, yeah.
It's weird. I have sort of a hippie part of my past that, you know, whenever I hear the Dead Licks, there's some part of me that starts doing that Dead jig, you know, the little acid wobble.
Yeah, the Woodstock thing.
Yeah. You start jangling your hands and smelling patchouli and calling out for some hippie girls.
I might be reduced to that with this Michael Jackson story. I just want to kind of get this over and done with, because we really have to mention that Michael Jackson has been indicted.
No, for what?
Child molestation. It's amazing.
What?
You know
Michael
what?
Jackson, that's crazy.
Yeah.
The icon?
He's in trouble.
It's
somehow
astounding. It just kind of came from nowhere. But he's been indicted on charges of child molesting.
Ugh.
Okay, I just want to get his lawyer's quote out of the way. His name is Benjamin Braffman, and he noted that the indictment is just a formal accusation and said Michael Jackson is not just presumed to be innocent, but is in fact innocent. So, no need for a trial then.
Was he innocent when he said, just drink it, it's
yeah,
good.
Right.
It'll make you feel fun.
You know, that if that part, if any of this stuff turns out to be true, is bad enough. But the whole thing about, you know, getting kids drunk is just like,
yeah, I mean, you know, kids should just get drunk on their own with adults. You know what I mean? That's the way to do it. When I was a kid, you had an adult buy you the stuff, and then you
then
lost
you went
the
off
adult.
By
exactly. Or you stole the booze from the adult. You know what I mean? Then you can't have a creepy adult in the room getting you drunk. That's just weird. Oh, it's good.
Anyway, that's enough Michael Jackson for me. Just thought we had to get that over and done with.
Can I just say one thing, though?
Story. Okay, so
that's
really
very important.
Quick.
I can't believe I ate that whole thing. Why'd you people let me eat that whole thing? What is it? It's like, I
got
it.
Wow.
You got it?
Yeah, okay. That thing had a bad effect on you.
Got a belly full of buttercream.
Mm-hmm.
That's it? That's your thing you had to say?
Yeah,
yes.
Okay, good. Over and done with. Now, what is all this with chanting, okay? There's a gay militia group that stormed a meeting of Christians in Calgary, Alberta, in Canada, in a hotel where the Concerned Christian Coalition, Inc. was holding, why do they call it Inc.? was holding its national convention on Saturday night, and apparently they were discussing a bill that would criminalize certain opposition to homosexual behavior in Canada. So these gay militia... Gay militia, that's them in the background, were chanting, right-wing bigots, go away, gay militia is here to stay, you know. I don't think this is going to endear anybody to being kind of more open-minded to get... Is this a kind of like YMCA sing along and chant?
Yeah, yeah. It's fun to go to the YMCA.
It is. It is that. I don't know. Why do they have to do stuff in rhymes?
Maybe they are
frustrated Marines.
That's a protest thing. Everybody.
All their protests do it, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a military thing. That's the weird thing about it.
Yeah,
but
it is.
But it's catchy and it's fun.
And easy to remember.
And easy to remember, and everybody can sing along. And
for the adults among the protests.
We were talking about it before we went on air. It plants a seed in your head. What's that called, Sue? What was the big discussion?
Mnemonic.
Mnemonic.
M-N-E.
M-N-E.
Mnemonic.
It plants a seed, right?
I don't know about the seed.
What is? Do we get a definition of it?
We didn't. We were disagreeing about this. It's a kind of easily remembered way of remembering something much more complicated. And the one I remember from school is, camels often sit down carefully. Perhaps their joints creak. Early oiling might prevent permanent rheumatism. Now. That's pretty obscure. That's hot, but that was supposed to be, I know, okay. All right, I haven't even had a cannoli, all right? And I'm this wacky.
I got a question. What's wrong with you?
I knew I was trying to stop you asking. I was going to tell you without your asking that question, okay?
That was
a way of remembering all that kind of geological stuff of the Cretaceous period and the Jurassic period. And so early oiling was like the... I can't even remember now, but at the time, when you're 12 or 13, you had to remember every single era in, geological history. So, I guess camels often sit down carefully, perhaps. Their joints was Jurassic, okay? Perhaps their joints
creak. It sounds like it's complicating things.
Jurassic joints?
At the time, it seemed incredibly easy, but because now, it just shows you how pointless they are, because years later, I can't even remember what it was supposed to be helping me remember.
You know what I remember from that period of schooling? Nothing.
Right.
I don't even have nursery rhymes.
I just remember the little joke.
To me, it was just vague. It was like, there are layers and rocks of different kinds. That's all I got.
That's all you got.
Did you get anything?
I got very little. I remember stuff from church for some reason. From when I was, the whole Nicene Creed.
I remember hymns. I remember loads of hymns. I can sing hymns.
All right, so that's the power of that. And the gay militia has sort of used that, but it's a little different because they are chanting.
You think we should draft them, by the way?
I mean, gay militia?
Yeah, aren't they looking?
Into the Canadian Army?
No, over to the, maybe they could go and step out and help out in Iraq. They are calling for more troops. They seem to be angry.
Then maybe they'd help out with that. I don't want to be like that. I don't
apparently
want to start
there's a female gay militia and a male gay militia.
Now that's no good at all.
This is having too much fun.
But yes, that's kind of beyond the pale over there, pal.
No, I'm glad that they said something. I'm glad there was a little public disobedience or civil disobedience and that they interrupted that
Couldn't they just march around? They had bandanas over their faces. Couldn't they just, chant outside? Why do they have to storm into
because
the
meeting? Want people to know that they're militant.
Well, I think they wanted to draw attention and make... There's a weird thing about protesting of any kind and the reason why, it isn't as effective as it used to be is it's so easy when somebody is angry and yelling and, all worked up about something, it's very easy to go, wow, what's up with that, and make them look silly. But it's a very human thing to do, and I think it's relatively effective.
But it's kind of tiresome, don't you think?
Yeah, but see, that's the attitude from even our side. We're just sort of like, hey, come on, get over it. It's ridiculous. You're out there screaming.
No, go ahead. Free speech, go and campaign. But I just think if you're doing it to the point at which you're disrespectful, even if you really disagree with the other group. Okay, so the gay militia, they really take issue with the Christians.
With homophobes and people who don't want to include them in things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but you can march around with your slogans, but why storm in and look like jerks?
Well, if that was the case, this country would never have been founded. I think that, you have to storm in.
Why?
Because
everybody look like jerks? I don't think so.
No, to actively rebel and actively, take action. And even if it's not acceptable, to do it to make your point. That's how change happens sometimes.
But they don't care about looking like jerks. They have bandanas over their face. Who would know?
Right.
I just think it looks bad. I think you can. I think you.
How do you know they might have been pretty bandanas?
Yeah,
I'm sure they were tasteful.
I don't know that you have to break up a meeting even if you disagree with people.
That's ridiculous.
Just scream
too.
Outside. You can watch it outside. Ridiculous.
Well, did they break up the meeting? I thought they just prayed louder.
The meeting prayed louder, and it was one of those weird.
I haven't put
stand-up.
My hate chip in, clearly.
Still to come, Sydney Blumenthal has the Salon.com story of the day, Mark Maron's Recovery Corner, plus you on the phones, all ahead on Air America Radio. But first, news headlines at the bottom of the hour.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. More violence in Iraq this morning with the reported killing of a French journalist. Unconfirmed reports say the foreigner was killed by masked gunmen who had been seen in recent weeks in a certain district in Baghdad, the capital. One student has been killed and some 23 others were injured in the stampede at the police academy recruiting drive in Haiti. Police fired tear gas into the crowd of applicants, triggering the stampede. Reports say thousands of job seekers yesterday rushed from the scene. There's word this morning that automobile insurance rates are starting to decline. This after 4 years of a steady increase. Despite the drop, the Wall Street Journal reports this morning that not all drivers will benefit from the impending shift in the way coverage is priced. And the National Council of Churches is sending a scathing letter to President Bush today, accusing his administration of weakening the Clean Air Act. Group claims, among other things, that power plants won't have to install pollution control equipment when they expand. Wayne Gilman, Air America Radio News.
There's a vacation village near Orlando that is unlike any resort in the world. It's for special kids with life-threatening illnesses. It's called Give Kids the World Village, and it provides a week of fun and relaxation for kids and their families. A week of simple pleasures that would make any child smile. Swimming pools, visits to local Orlando theme parks, and unlimited ice cream. A week to live in the moment and to make memories that will last a lifetime. All for free, for their families, too. To find out how you can bring joy into the life of a very sick child, call 800-995-KIDS or visit the Give Kids the World website at gktw.org. And please, help give them a time to remember. Brought to you by Give Kids the World and the Ad Council.
Yes, we're back. I'm Mark Maron with Sue Ellicott and Mark Riley here on Morning Sedition on Air America. We are talking now with Sydney Blumenthal, the Washington Bureau Chief of Salon. How do you say it, Sue? Salon? Salon.com.
Salon, darling. Salon.
How are you, Sydney?
I love waking up to hearing Sue say Salon.
All right, go ahead. Let her do it.
Go ahead, Sue.
Salon, Sydney.
Oh.
It's my wake-up call.
It'll cost you.
So what's the lowdown, Sydney, on the similarities between what's going on now with this panel and the Iran-Contra?
Well, who can
scandal?
Remember the Iran-Contra affair? But I'll tell you, it was a serious constitutional crisis. Bob Woodward's book reveals some serious constitutional questions here. One, Bush took $700 million from the budget that was allocated to Afghanistan in order to prepare for the Iraq War. Why is this a problem? He never notified Congress. Congress and the Constitution is the only source of funding. They have to approve it in some way, and they didn't. The president, as the executive, cannot unilaterally take the public treasury and use it for his own purposes, including for preparing for war.
How do you think he's going to get away with it? What's his excuse? What is this loophole?
He has no adequate explanation so far.
So it's an impeachable offense.
Well, you know, strictly speaking, it may well be. The problem is we have a completely supine Republican Congress that won't investigate, won't hold hearings. We have a one-party government right now. But if there were a responsible Congress, they would look into this question.
Right.
And in Iran-Contra, remember, what was created under Reagan were a network of aides, like Oliver North, set up a separate government. They got funding independently. They sold missiles to Iran in order to fund the Nicaraguan Contras. They were running an offshore foreign policy.
Weren't there people involved in that were in the administration now, Negroponte and Armitage? And
there are a lot of people who are in the administration who were involved or on the fringes of it. There is one person who, in a very responsible position, Elliot Abrams on the National Security Council, head of the Middle East, who pled guilty to felonies, to lying to Congress, who was pardoned by the elder Bush. There were 11 convictions, including several members of Reagan's National Security Council. One of the most interesting things to me politically is that the old Republican establishment intervened and took over the government. I don't know if you remember Howard Baker, the old venerable senator, and there were a number of others, and they were put in the key positions. All the neoconservatives and the freebooters were tossed out. And now this time, they're at the center of the government. You have in Woodward's book Colin Powell, Secretary of State, saying they've created a separate government inside the administration. And Powell himself finds himself cut out with the president telling him about the war plans after Prince Bandar, the Saudi ambassador, is informed.
Bandar!
He's our favorite person.
We like to say his name. Bandar and his magic sword.
Well, get the full name, Prince Bandar bin Sultan. They unroll the battle plan for him. At Bush's order, Cheney and Rumsfeld and General Myers unroll the battle plan. It's marked at the top secret, no foreigner is supposed to see this.
Yeah, that's because he's family now, you see. He doesn't count as a foreigner.
That's right. Prince Bandar is really a member of the war cabinet. He's like a branch of the American government, the Saudi ambassador. And he sees all the plans and approves them before Colin Powell is told a word.
And that's unheard of.
It's extraordinary.
Okay, so Sydney, you're saying that really this is like Iran-Contra, but not as much money, but in some ways worse, because it wasn't a bunch of aides who kind of didn't tell the president what was going on. It comes from the top down. But I covered Iran-Contra as a reporter in Washington, and the American public in the end just threw up their hands and went, Iran-Contra, it's so complicated.
Took too long.
Everybody said, Reagan, I do not recall. And it just kind of blew over. Women fell in love with Oliver North and had a crush on him because he wore a uniform. And, he became a national hero, and that was it. So how are people going to care about 700 million if they couldn't get their acts together to be angry about Iran-Contra?
Well, we have a war now where American soldiers are on the front line, men and women. We have whole towns where their entire National Guard of people who were first responders, police, firemen, other jobs, men and women, whose tours have been extended indefinitely, really. You have a situation where no one knows where the bottom is in terms of money to be spent on Iraq, and it remains unstable. We still don't know what the so-called entity is that we're going to hand off to on June 30th so that we will have this supposedly steady, stable situation. So I think people have real cause now that's very different from Iran-Contra, which was a secretive plot. This is every day in our face.
Well, Sonny, let me ask you something about that secretive plot, because there were allegations during Iran-Contra that at the very least some figures in the administration, in the Reagan administration, ignored cocaine trafficking in order to get the money to the Contras. There's no possibility there's that kind or that level of illegality here.
I don't believe so. I believe that there are serious constitutional questions involved here. The twisting and abuse of the intelligence agencies, which is all confirmed in Woodward's book. Powell is quoted as saying that they mangle all the intelligence. He couldn't even figure out when he went over to CIA, couldn't line up the evidence with the proof, because after Cheney and the Pentagon had been through with it, all the intelligence had been twisted. And they had done that in order to justify and create a rationale for the war based on disinformation, false information. That's a serious question. We have an intelligence commission that Bush has said will report to him after the election, so it's off the table. It shouldn't be. Then we have the constitutional question of the appropriation of funds, possibly illegally and unconstitutionally. And then the question of how is the very serious business of war conducted, where the Secretary of State is informed after the Saudi ambassador of our battle plans, which are not supposed to be shown to foreigners.
That's ridiculous. Hey, Sydney, can we get you to respond to a couple of these new ads?
Sure.
Okay, we're going to play them. Chris, can you lay it out?
Let me tell you exactly what I would do to change the situation in Iraq. I would immediately reach out to the international community in sharing the burden, the risk, because they also have a stake in the outcome of what is happening in Iraq. The American taxpayer is paying now almost $200 billion and who knows how many more billions, and we're paying the highest price in the loss of the lives of our young soldiers, almost alone. I'm John Kerry, and I approve this message.
These are new campaign ads from Kerry and Bush. We're going to play the Bush one now for Sidney Blumenthal of Salon.com.
I'm George W. Bush, and I approve this message.
John Kerry says, a lot of people don't really know who I am. Well, actually, a lot of people do.
Kerry's hometown paper says, in his continuing effort to be all things to all voters, John Kerry is engaging in a level of doublespeak that makes most voters wince.
The Wall Street Journal said Kerry's tax plan would mean increasing the tax burden again, which would likely kill the recovery.
On Iraq, the Washington Post said Kerry's attempts to weave a thread connecting and justifying his positions are unconvincing.
The union leader says Kerry has waffled on historic education reforms he supported in 2001, but now opposes.
And the nonpartisan National Journal magazine ranks Kerry the most liberal member of the Senate, more liberal than Hillary Clinton or Ted Kennedy.
John Kerry's problem is not that people don't know him, it's that people do.
Wow, is that like PSYOP's mind-messing music?
I just can't. I'm very upset about his use of New Age music to promote that president. What do you think, Sidney?
That sounds like the soundtrack of Fog of War by Philip Glass.
It does. He's copping our riffs.
Yeah, I think we all ought to see Fog of War on national network television now. The Bush ad is being run now because Kerry is about to introduce himself. Look, here's what has happened. Bush has spent more than $50 million in TV and radio spots since March 3rd. It's enabled him to hold his own against circumstances in which he has not done well in the world. He's supposed to be, and he's run ads promoting himself as a steady leader. Look at the headlines today, and you tell me how things are going. So he has managed to run up Kerry's negatives. Now, you think you know John Kerry, but many people do not. And Kerry has spent the same period in which Bush has put out $50 million in ads raising money. He's had an extraordinary month raising money, a lot of it on the Internet, totally unexpected. Now he's going out. He's going to introduce himself to the American people. And so Bush is putting out an ad trying to block perception. So as Kerry wants to show himself in a positive light, explain his biography, Bush wants to reinforce the negative and prevent people from assimilating Kerry's positive message. That's what that ad's about.
Wow. Thanks a lot for that perceptive take on it. Sidney Blumenthal from Salon.com. Thanks a lot, Sidney. It's great talking to you.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay,
thank
take it easy.
They're both snoozy ads. It's amazing they can appeal to anybody.
Mm. Still to come, Sidney. Oops, not Sidney. That was Sidney. Stay with us. We're going to be talking to you on the phones at 866-303-AAR0. That's 866-303-2270 when Air America Radio continues. Air America Radio. Crank up the cranks.
Some mothers and daughters bond. Others are crazy glued. And now there's a new play about mothers and daughters that'll bring you to tears of laughter from door to door. The Daily News raves. From door to door is hilarious and deeply moving. It weaves the stories of three generations of Jewish women together with great artfulness. From door to door is a funny and heartfelt play that stirs up 65 years of family secrets and surprises. From the Cossacks to Ellis Island, from overmothering to single parenting. The Journal News calls From Door to Door a sweet play that glows with love and timeless values. It's beautifully performed, cheers the New York Post. And the Star Ledger applauds. It's like plunging into a bowl of your grandma's chicken noodle soup. See From Door to Door by James Sherman, directed by Joe Brancato at the West Side Theater. Call telecharge.com 212-239-6200. WOR's Joan Hamburg says you'll enjoy it from door to door.
Hi, I'm Cindy Thompson for RAD, recording artists, actors, and athletes against drunk driving. To some, it's just not country music without hard drinking and fast driving. But real life's not always a song. And in less time than it takes to play the latest country hit, someone will be killed or injured in an alcohol-related crash. So next time you're out with someone who's been drinking, don't let them take the wheel. Take the keys instead. Sad stories make great songs, but happy endings make better lives. That's why friends don't let friends drive drunk.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Welcome to Glasses on Tape.
Okay.
Let's begin. Open your color-coded guidebooks to the yellow section.
Yellow.
Encouraging phrases. Ready?
Oh, wait. I don't have my...
Now, repeat the following phrase. Son, you did great on that test.
Son?
I'm so proud of you.
Oh, son, you did great on that test.
How did you do? Try it again.
Son, you did great on...
Again.
Son, you did great
again.
On that... Look, wait. Son, you did great on that test. I'm so proud of you. Son, you did great on that test. I'm so proud of you.
Hey, Dad. How's it going?
Son, you're so proud. And that's a great test.
It's really not that difficult. In fact, encouraging your kids to stay in school is something every parent can do. Talk to them. Encourage them. Get them to graduate. Don't drop out on your kids. For a free brochure, call 877-4KID. That's 877-F-O-R-A-K-I-D. This message brought to you by the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
Randy Rhodes.
I'm going to tell you what I tell my kid. You know, every time my kid does, you know, says something like very unimportant. It is. I just bought a new pair of shoes, and you got to see them. I'll say, oh, I'll alert the media. And then I'll look at her and go, wait, I am the media. So from now on, let's not say there is no liberal media. Just say there is a liberal media. Her name is Randy Rhodes.
Randy Rhodes. Afternoons 3 to 7 on Air America Radio.
Welcome back to Morning Sedition here on Air America. That's sedition.
Eating seditious, Mark?
Yeah, a bit.
Yeah,
that's Sue Ellicott. That's Mark Riley. We're hanging out. We just talked to Sidney Blumenthal. Very engaging as usual. And now it's time for Recovery Corner. I'm Mark, and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Mark.
Thank you.
Thank you. And in Recovery Corner, I reach out to fellow 12-steppers who are struggling to stay clean and sober or whatever they're struggling with that applies to 12-step programs. Today, I'm offering counsel to my temporary sponsee, George W., who said, this is a hard country to defend. Yeah, life is hard, George W. Like when you're growing up with every privilege, going to prep school and then Yale and then having your father bail you out at several failed businesses. Man, that was brutal, dude. Brutal. And it would be humiliating to almost anybody. But you were strong, and you didn't listen to all those fancy-pants intellectuals who called you a failure and a dimwit. Recovery is hard,
too. That
was
just
his dad. Dimwit. I loved it.
Mano y mano is going to take him. Recovery is hard, too, George W. Every day you have to look in the mirror and say, this is a hard person to defend. But that's why you surround yourself with ruthless ideologues who care nothing about the Constitution. I'm here, too. You know, just pick up the phone, buddy, and we'll get through this whole presidency thing together because it's going to be over soon. You know, and I know it's hard, but not harder than the both of us. You know what I'm saying, buddy? We got what it takes. One day at a time. Think. Let go and let God. And just remember, if you got one foot in yesterday and the other foot in tomorrow, you're peeing on today. All right? God doesn't wake up and think he's you. This has been Recovery Corner. That's just reaching out.
Hey, who called our president a dimwit, man? Did somebody write that?
Yeah, I did.
Oh.
I think I just did.
Okay. I'm just checking.
Why? You think that's a bad call?
Well, you know, dimwit is kind of a harsh
term,
isn't it?
That's a harsh
even
term?
Even for a dimwit, it's a harsh term.
Hey,
wow.
We can get that by the FCC.
We're
fine with that. I'm going to give out the number for you guys to call us, people who are listening. 1-866-303-AAR0. And for those of you who love numbers, 1-866-303-2267. 7780. We have Tom on the line from Long Island. Hello, Tom. You're with us.
How you doing?
You have a question?
Right. Actually, I just wanted to talk to you for a second about the polls.
Uh-huh.
Okay, I mean, Bush spent like $50 million since March 3rd, and his numbers only went up like a few points.
That was just in March he spent that, I think.
Right, in March. And the numbers were the same as they were back in February.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so why is he doing something better with the money? Like,
just think how low they could have gone if he hadn't spent that much.
Yeah, I mean, think about it. $50 million, I can sell you poop on a stick.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Nah, it's okay. We'll pass on that. Thanks, Tom.
Thanks anyway, though.
But the other thing is, you guys were talking before about mnemonics.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, when I was in grade school, I learned, you know, my very educated mother just served us 9 pizzas. You know,
what does that mean?
And you know, can you just remember that but not remember the thing it was supposed to remind you of?
Oh, no, that's the planets. My Mercury, Venus, Earth, Mars, Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, Neptune, and Pluto.
But that was easy. My early thing was far more complicated.
What school did I go to?
That's like Roy G. Biv, remembering the colors of the rainbow. That's an easy one.
Yeah. But
thanks a lot, Tom.
Listen, you guys are great. I love your show. It's dose of sanity in the morning. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. We're not trying to give sanity.
What school did I go to? I didn't get this
mnemonics.
Why didn't I get mnemonics?
Mnemonics.
You had recess when the rest of the school was doing it.
I didn't get any of that.
Let's go next to Harold. Harold is calling us from Florida. Harold.
Hey, how you guys doing this morning?
I'm okay, man.
Good.
Hit us with a question, Harold.
Yeah, this is just a comment. I'm just excited about, you know, listening to you guys in the morning. I'm glad that you guys are bringing the truth to the light. Me and my wife are currently active duty Air Force, and I get tired of all the, you know, people who are, you know, for the war, don't have a real stake in the war with their kids or anything. Mm-hmm. And I'm just appreciative of you guys trying to, you know, inform the masses of what's really going on and the different takes that's in the war.
So how good a job do you think President Bush is doing in leading the war?
To be honest, when the General Chief of Staff of the Army said we need more than 100,000 troops over there, he was right.
Right.
But he was they made him retire early because that was not the
that wasn't the answer he was supposed to give.
That wasn't the answer that they needed. And they should apologize to the man first and foremost because...
Yeah, right. Don't hold your breath there, Harold.
Yeah, and first of all, as generals, they have seen war, they know war, and they should take into account what those generals say and what they mean instead of, you know, going by what they think it should, because the only person in the Pentagon that has been a combat veteran or a veteran was Donald Rumsfeld, and that was back in the 50s. So,
you know, he's right.
Hey, Harold, how many people? How come so many armed forces guys are Republican? I don't understand.
No, well, the thing is, you got to listen to. It's the only people that get interviewed are officers. If you listen to the enlisted people, the people that really do the work.
Uh-oh.
And those officers are given talking points. They all say the same thing. And, you know, apparently, you know, one of the reasons why a lot of troops aren't being, you know, they're not putting more troops out there, and they don't want to spend the money.
Mm.
And that's you know, that's becoming, you know, clear that they don't want to allocate any more money for the war before the election, because then, you know, the American people might see and realize what's really going on.
I wonder how many people who serve with Harold feel the same way he does, because he had some really interesting points.
That's a good
how
point.
How could they not
the
feel that way?
Enlisted guys, although you know, there are some signs that even the senior military officers are, you know, not kind of in favor of what the administration is doing. There was a U.S. general in Iraq who was quoted in the New York Times earlier this week saying that many of the young Iraqis who've taken up arms want to be part of the solution in handing over Iraq on June 30th, but they don't see a future yet, and they don't feel there's any hope for them politically or economically, and that, you know, if they send in more troops from the U.S., that'll just only swell the numbers of those people who are kind of fighting against the coalition forces, which is, I think, is a good point, and Bush should listen. But let's go to Adam in New Jersey. Adam, you're on the line with Air America. You have a question for us?
Morning.
Morning.
Hey, buddy.
I'm just outraged at the way the Bush administration is attacking John Kerry on his military record, the same way they did to John McCain and Max Cleland.
What shameless idiots they are. They didn't even go to the war, and they're just shameless.
Yeah, no, the thing that's really getting me a little uptight about also is I'd like to see John Kerry, instead of just responding to this, to come out and attack the president on this and say that, listen, Mr. President, I will stack my military record up against yours any day of the
week. Yeah, why does he do that?
I mean, here's a guy that got the National Guard, but he's sending our National Guard's men and women to die every day of the week in Iraq.
Ill-equipped, even, because they don't want to spend the money on the proper equipment.
I think he's maybe saving that one for the debate.
I think, you know what, this is the most important election of my lifetime, and if this idiot gets in again, and he gets to get a Supreme Court justice or two, for example, we're screwed. And I think it's already going into May, and he's got to get going right now.
Well, yeah,
we're
putting that message out there. We've been trying to get Kerry to get going on that and, you know, get into a little attack mode all week.
We've been trying to get Kerry up here, as a matter of fact.
How about
Rich
Bush
in Virginia?
Hey, this is Rich. I just wanted to make a comment that with all the job losses under the Bush administration...
2.5 million, right?
Yep.
Yes. Well, you can add four more. That would be the four horsemen of the apocalypse.
They're out of work now?
Well, they've been consolidated into one job that the theocratic dictatorship of George Bush has gladly accepted.
Right on, man. I'm with you, man. The four horsemen are now one, and they're going to outsource him.
Well, we should in November.
They're outsourcing him to Iraq right now. Thanks a lot, Rich. Nice
vision. Thank you.
Interesting
poetry. Care. Let's go next to Dale from Manhattan. Dale.
Oh, how are you?
Good. All right. How are you?
Good.
No, he's great. He's had too many cakes this morning.
Here's my question.
Yeah.
You know, this president answers to a higher father. He's a very religious man.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So why, 1 week from today, does he refuse to swear under God?
Exactly.
That's right.
That's
he's not going under oath when he appears in front of the 9/11 Commission, is he?
And
on
everybody
the
should be all over this weekend in the synagogues on Friday night, Saturday, the mosques and churches.
Why isn't he going under oath to let Dick Cheney talk for him?
If he answers to a higher father,
why does he answer to
a problem?
Exactly. That's a good point, Dale.
He would make the point that it's not the higher father who's asking him the questions. It's just the chair and the deputy chair of the 9/11 Commission.
But they didn't listen to Mark Maron.
They'll find a weaselly way of kind of getting out of that.
But he's answering. It's not just him. They're not the only ones listening. The American public and the world is listening.
I think, you know what, Dale? I think it should be on TV. I think he should go under oath. I think that we should be able to see what a mockery of a president he is, that he has to sit there with the guy who's under him and take orders from him in public. I think that we should all be able to see that. And I guess the reason that he's not under oath is because he doesn't want to be held accountable on the record for anything that might be. He can't trust himself enough not to screw this up, even with Dick Cheney in there, that they're going to be caught in lies, that they're going to, you know, go against previous testimony, that they're going to say things
against
that,
one another.
That are not historically recorded, you know, events that happened in the timeline that I lost this sentence about
that. No, but you know, one of the questions people got to ask themselves is, after next Thursday, how much leakage will there be from this testimony? Who's going to say what Bush and Cheney said? Because somebody will. Somebody on that panel, somebody standing in the room, somebody's
got
to leak this.
I got a guy who's going to get a tape. I got a guy who's going to get bootleg tape. Yeah, same guy gets me all the dead stuff. And what was that other thing you got talking about?
I'm training them to do shorthand. I'm sneaking up there. I'm going to D.C. this weekend. I'll make sure I get somebody taking.
Yeah, I'll get my guy too. You know, my guy in D.C. is going to. He's got a really tiny video camera, and he's in the room, man.
You know, isn't there a spy store somewhere near our studios here?
Yeah, there's one. I think on 34th Street.
On 34th Street, because when you ride by in the morning and you're looking for something to look at.
Yeah,
you see spy cameras. And, we ought to go visit him.
Yeah. In the next hour of Morning Sedition. Oh, yeah? Is it Riley? Riley, you take it.
Hey, still ahead on Air America. The Secret Life of Sorority Sisters, the Presidential Daily Briefing, and Could Mickey Have Two Mommies? You're listening to Air America Radio.
Volunteers of America is a national organization that for over 100 years has provided programs and services that allow people to overcome their challenges to become vital members of their community. At Volunteers of America, we don't just help people, we help people help themselves. Find out how you can support the programs that are working in your community. Contact Volunteers of America today. Call 1-800-899-0089.
Hello, I'm Kate Burton. In the U.S. alone, over 40,000 women and men die from breast cancer each year. You can do something powerful. Support the Breast Cancer Research Foundation, founded by Evelyn Lauder, and help us achieve prevention and cure. Let's give breast cancer the punch it deserves and knock it out for good. Call toll-free 1-866-FIND-A-CURE or visit www.bcrfcure.org. That's bcrfcure.org. Thank you.
You're listening to 1190 WLIB New York, the home of Air America Radio.
In the next hour of Morning's Edition here on Air America, we've got the liberal agenda with today's marching orders for all good liberals. Plus, sex in the barracks. Why is it always the German army that shows us the way? But first, here are the headlines at this hour.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. There's a charge this hour from the U.S. military that the Iraqi security forces were not doing their part to quell the recent spate of violence in the country in as many days. Major General Martin Dempsey says 10% of the Iraqi security forces actually worked against the U.S. forces during recent fighting in Fallujah and Najaf. Dempsey says another 40% of the Iraqi forces walked off the job because they did not want to fight their fellow nationals. Latest of the wave of violence in Iraq is taking its toll on American businesses. Both General Electric and Siemens have suspended most of their operations in a precautionary measure for its personnel. Action is casting doubts about the American-led effort to rebuild the country as the fighting continues. Some Muslim nations have indicated they may join the coalition in Iraq if there is a UN mandate. Islamic States opened an emergency meeting today in Malaysia and will urge the UN to take a key role after Washington transfers authority in June. Malaysia's Prime Minister Abdullah Ahmed Badawi told delegates from the Organization of the Islamic Conference that current coalition members had not been prepared for that situation.
Iraqi civilians continue to lose their lives daily. Soldiers of the coalition forces also continue to get killed unnecessarily. It would appear that those who decide to invade Iraq, take part or support the invasion, had no appreciation of what they would encounter in Iraq.
The Saudi ambassador to the United States has denied that his country agreed to lower oil prices in time for the November presidential election. Prince Bandar bin Sultan told reporters yesterday that although President Bush has asked Saudi Arabia to keep oil prices down for economic reasons, there was no discussion of timing a reduction to help his re-election campaign. You're listening to Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman.
Just when you thought politics couldn't get any dirtier, now Bill Hilsman is dragging it to a new low. Bill Hilsman says our current election system is run solely for the profit of political parties, pollsters, and special interest groups. Bill Hilsman says the two major political parties are denying Americans more choices by shutting out new candidates and new ideas. And Bill Hilsman accuses Republicans and Democrats of using negative advertising to actually lower voter turnout. Bill Hilsman. Bad for Republicans, bad for Democrats, bad for America.
Wait a minute. What office is Bill Hilsman running for?
He's not. Hilsman was a consultant for Paul Wellstone, Jesse Ventura, and Ralph Nader. But his new book, Run the Other Way, is bad for the political establishment, bad for America.
So, Bill Hilsman is a threat to everyone in politics, and they don't want you to read Run the Other Way.
I'll say again. Run the Other Way by Bill Hilsman in bookstores now is bad for Washington insiders, bad for America.
Former New York City Police Commissioner Bernard Kerik is playing partisan politics, suggesting yesterday that another 9/11 is imminent if Senator John Kerry or any other Democrat becomes president. Kerik, a huge supporter of Bush, was police commissioner when the Twin Towers of the World Trade Center fell in New York in September 2001. Veteran Democrat and former New York City Mayor Ed Koch may be sticking it to his lifelong party. Koch has decided to take on a high-profile role, helping the Republican Party recruit volunteers for its national convention in New York this summer. Ex-mayor says it's not political. Koch has posed for ads that will soon be on billboards and newspapers touting the August GOP National Convention. Koch is a staunch supporter of Republican President George Bush. The former mayor still maintains the ads are not political. And the Queen Mary, too, has just about completed this maiden voyage to New York. Her arrival comes some 92 years and 8 days after another British ocean liner almost made it here. Of course, that was the Titanic.
Mary, can you overnight these to Boston?
Sure. Do you want them first thing? Or it's a meteor, and it's coming right at me!
Not many things knock you out like a migraine.
I suppose you'll want to take the rest of the day off, then.
But you can knock out a migraine with Ralpax. Ralpax Alitriptan Hydrobromide relieves migraine pain and symptoms such as nausea and sensitivity to light and sound. For some people, it starts to work in 30 minutes. Ask your doctor. Call 1-866-3-RALPAX or go to relpax.com. Ralpax. Don't let a migraine keep you down. Only your doctor can decide if Ralpax is right for you. If you have certain types of heart disease, a history of stroke, TIA, or uncontrolled blood pressure, you should not take Ralpax. Very rarely certain people, even some without heart disease, have had serious heart-related problems. Talk to your doctor if you have risk factors for heart disease, such as smoking, high blood pressure, or high cholesterol, or if you are pregnant or nursing. Certain medicines that are potent CYP3A4 inhibitors should not be taken with Ralpax, so talk to your doctor if you're taking other medicines. See our ad in Fitness Magazine.
Planet check. Clear skies, healthy forests. Don't believe the hype.
Clear skies. They use rhetoric that resonates with people, but the reality of their environmental programs is dirty air, dirty water.
That's Carol Browner, former EPA administrator under Clinton.
The current administration has been very successful in dressing up and thinning their terrible record on the environment. Environment 2004 is a group of committed environmentalists who want to make sure that voters across the country, swing voters, know exactly what the Bush administration is doing in terms of clean air, clean water, how they are failing to enforce our environmental laws.
Environment 2004's mission? Educate voters on the facts and emphasize the critical importance of this presidential election.
Please visit our website, environment2004.org.
That's Planet Check.
Planet Check is possible thanks to Circle of Life and We the Planet. www.circleoflife.org, where consciousness is cool.
Cobad Broadband Service Rep Arnie Lewick on music. On fashion. On art.
Love that guy.
And on business broadband.
Oh, the key to business broadband is the same as any business decision. You want the best product at the best price. At Covad, we have broadband that's built for business, unlike the local phone company, which specializes in residential plans, and we have it for less. Hundreds of dollars a year less. And that's for broadband from us, the business broadband experts. Now, don't even get me started on Covad's selection of broadband services. Fixed IP addresses for firewalls, for web and email hosting. Well, the list just goes on and
Arnie
on.
Arnie Lewick on politics. Business broadband. Covad knows it like nobody else. To get broadband built for business, call 1-800-555-0454. Plus, get a free router after mail-in rebate through June 30th, 2004 when your business signs up at 1-800-555-0454 or gocovad.com. Not available in all areas. Saving based on published rates, March 10th, 2004.
Hey, I'm Mark Maron here with Sue Ellicott and Mark Riley on Air America Radio. It's 7 past the hour, and this is Morning Sedition.
Good morning. If you're just joining us, it's Mark Maron here with Mark Riley and Sue Ellicott here on Morning Sedition. We've got the liberal agenda coming up. Plus, did lack of sex kill the dinosaurs?
Whoa.
We might even get to that story.
It's killing us.
It's killing me, yeah, I know. Yeah. I mean, yeah, I got my wife out there in California.
You guys are scaring me now, you know that. My wife is in Jersey, and you guys are you're really scaring me.
Yeah, I don't even want to go into
that part of my life.
Jersey's
a lot closer than London,
right,
L.A., Mark, right?
That's exactly why you're scaring me.
But is New Jersey pulling out of the coalition of the willing?
Are you suggesting that Mark's wife is pulling out of the coalition of the willing?
No, I'm just saying that everybody else is. The coalition of the willing is turning into the coalition of the bailing. Now Poland is on the fence. Poland, they were our buddies, man. Poland came. They were like, we're in.
They were what you'd call a key ally.
Everybody's losing faith in little Georgie. You know, you know what I can't stand? And I was talking about this in the last hour a little bit. Is that when people say, you know, you guys are just Bush bashers. You're Bush bash. You know, these guys, the Republicans, did nothing but bash Clinton for 8 years. Mm-hmm. You know, relentlessly about everything. And still, people like and respect Bill Clinton. They still dig seeing him. They're excited about him. They a lot of people still have respect for him. But you can't even say nothing about this president without people saying, you know, someone actually said that if you keep bashing Bush, you know, people are going to turn on you and think you're bullying him. It's like, is it that easy to make Bush a pitiful person? I mean, what kind is that really a leader?
Turn around and look at his face and ask yourself.
No, I mean, I see it. But what I'm saying, my argument is, if he can't hold up to that, if he's that vulnerable and that, you know, easily pitied, I mean, what kind of leader is that? You know, it's sort of like, what do we got to walk on? We've got to pussyfoot around. You know what I mean? Is it like that? Is there like a retarded child in the room that we're not allowed to, you know, acknowledge that he's retarded? He's not. He's just, you know, he's socially awkward. You know, he's not a good reader. You know, he has a hard time, you know, putting sentences together. He's not very good at press conferences. You can't pussyfoot around the president just because he's not up to speed. He's not retarded.
Well, I was going to ask you if you were calling him retarded.
No, I'm not calling him retarded. I just cannot stand when people from the right or conservatives, you know, use the word Bush bashing. He's the president. He should be able to absorb criticism. He's not some pitiful person. He's not to be, you're not supposed to feel sorry for the president, because then you're just following him because you're like, hey, come on, he's doing the best he can. What kind of leader is that?
But the scary thing is that many people seem not to care. I mean, we talked about some of these polls earlier, and I get, you know, very frustrated by polls, because I think people can look at them too closely. Especially, it's a bit like weighing yourself. And if you weigh yourself every single day and you're up a pound and down 2 pounds, you'll drive yourself mad. If you do it once a month, you probably get a better sense of how you're doing.
But I'm saying that 50%.
Same thing with polls. But, you know, there are two polls here that seem to conflict themselves. One says that, you know, that Americans are more scared than ever before, that there are signs that they're very worried about the violence in Iraq and they're very worried about terrorism on U.S. soil. Yet another poll says that people also think that Bush is the best candidate, or better than Kerry, better able to deal with, you know, the country's biggest problems, including national security issues.
But he just came out and said that, you know, we should be afraid something's going to happen.
But that's it. That's what they're doing.
That's his big ace in the hole.
It's the scare 'em, sue them, scare 'em, sue them. And if you have Condoleezza Rice say, as she did the other day, that, you know, Al-Qaeda will see the November elections as an opportunity too good to pass up, and otherwise, hey, we are going to have some kind of terrorist attack between now and November, everybody kind of goes running to daddy. It's sort of the better the devil you know than the devil you don't.
They're not running to daddy, but daddy is trying to use this as a tactic to remind the kids that he is daddy. Because, you know, in essence, what you said is that 50%, so they're not running to daddy enough. So what he's trying to do is get the kids scared enough that they'll run back to daddy.
He's been doing that all along. I mean, he did that from the very beginning. He did that from the, you know, the day after 9/11.
That's why there's a code system. It's just to remind people to be afraid. But clearly, and I hope to God that, you know, it's not working. You know, because, like, you can't just instigate fear in people for political purposes all the time. At some point, people have got to wake up. But the terrorism thing is so broad. I mean, you know, it is a very scary possibility.
But, you know, we have a situation now. This is almost the end of April. You've got an untenable situation in Iraq. If it's as bad as this in November, I can't imagine people will go out and vote for this guy. If you know, all of these different cities are still under siege, if there's still a substantial number of American troops that are over there, and
businesses are pulling out, but not just, you know, not just countries.
Yeah, GE,
what GE pulls out of the country, you know, and doesn't want to do business there, that's going to really hurt the Bush administration. It's like, you know, we're losing, you know, our cronies who we set up there to make a killing are too afraid to even set up business.
Well, you know, the significance of GE is that one thing Iraqis lack in large numbers is electricity. Many of these cities do not have adequate electrical power, and with GE pulling out, who's going to give it to them? There's nobody left.
I was talking to my friend Sam about this. Well, apparently what the deal is the way they're thinking is like you've got hundreds and thousands of Iraqis that aren't getting the right type of electricity or if any electricity whatsoever because so many of these fixtures were put into place by companies that were not allowed to do business there because of not participating in the war
in
effort.
The war, yeah.
So what they've done is they've set up GE and these other big American companies to rebuild the electronic infrastructure from the bottom up. So a lot of people aren't going to have electricity for maybe years. And now these guys are pulling out, along with the other countries, and they have no plan whatsoever.
It's a very vulnerable period when you have these kind of companies pulling out and yet talk about sending more troops in. I was very interested by what one of the generals in Iraq said this week, Major General John Batiste, and he said that a lot of the insurgencies and the young Iraqi men who've taken up arms and fighting, they just are very frustrated. They want to be part of the solution. They really, really want their sovereignty to be handed over to them in June, but they feel there's no hope for them. There's no hope politically, and there's no hope economically. And the more these companies pull out, the less economic hope that there is, the more frustrated Iraqis become that there's no reconstruction.
And they're putting the Ba'ath Party guys
Their lives are not back on track, and that will only swell the numbers of the rebels who are fighting against the coalition troops. Not just the coalition troops, they're fighting against the Iraqis who are on the payroll of the U.S. coalition to try to keep order, and they don't want to do it.
And they're bringing Ba'ath guys, Ba'ath Party military officials back in. Yeah. After all this time of keeping them out because they were suspect of them, now they got no choice
but to bring them back.
Isn't that unbelievable?
That's his mark of desperation. That is the fact that they did. That just shows that they did not have a very good sense of culturally what was happening inside Iraq and who they needed to count on to facilitate communication and a sense of well-being and trust. That is a sign they've absolutely lost the trust of the Iraqi people.
Wait till the introduction of the new Saddam. They're going to walk about like McMurphy in the cuckoo's nest.
Those out-of-work Saddam lookalikes are going to be back on, back getting work. Hey, we need you.
They're going to start asking him questions not where are the WMDs, but how do we run this place?
has anyone kept track of how many Iraqi cops have been killed in the last month?
By
anybody.
No, I don't have that
number. Huge number, and what's significant about that to me is that in virtually any society, when you start killing cops, you kill a cop in New York, you got a serious problem on your hands.
Oh yeah,
all the cops get together, they chase people down, business in that neighborhood ceases to function.
They offer $500,000 reward usually.
You think any of that's happening over there?
No, I think it's a real sign that people in Europe have been saying this for a long time that the U.S. military approach has been far too heavy-handed. There's been a lot of criticism seeping in out of Iraq, reports from military, not just from Britain, but all countries. That the U.S. troops are far too trigger happy, are far too ruthless, have attacked, gone after, shot too many ordinary civilians. They're scared.
Yeah.
They're scared, and they are. It's the same thing that happened in some of the attacks in the war last year, was on the bridge where they shot against the car. Yeah, you'd be scared, but I think it all goes back to having failed to prepare people really very clearly for culturally what they were going up against.
And these kids,
the whole idea that you go in and you train your troops to see everybody as the enemy. That's the mentality that the U.S. troops went in with.
But they're not feeling like their backs are being watched, and I could certainly understand why some of these guys would be afraid. If you've got guys who you've recruited from the Iraqi services or these trained police guys who you can't count on watching your back, the first time that happens, why wouldn't they be scared and trigger happy on some level? I mean, these are just guys. It's got to go up to the top. You got to follow to the top of the pyramid. The leadership is not there, and the vision is not there, and there's all these different factions,
When we come back, sex and the German soldier and sex without men. Plus, get ready. Mark Maron's presidential daily briefing is up next here on Air America Radio. Air America Radio, the United States of Oratory.
Hi, I'm Joe Perry.
I'm Steven Tyler from Aerosmith, here for RAD, recording artists, actors, and athletes against drunk driving. Yeah, we love it when the music does the talking.
And the music stops when someone gets killed.
So never let someone you know get behind the wheel if they've been drinking.
And they don't have to be plastered to kill someone. Even one or two drinks can impair your judgment and change your life forever.
So keep it real, keep it real. Friends, don't let friends drive drunk.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAB, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
There was water, and it was good. Once, Planet Check.
Last year, Mounted Meadows became quite concerned, as I think a lot of other ski areas are in the country, about the possible influence of global warming on our viability as a business.
That's Mount Hood Meadows Sustainability Manager, Stuart Watson.
So we thought we would take some initiatives to demonstrate our concern about that and hope to motivate other people to take similar actions.
Mount Hood gives the planet a lift with green-powered chair.
So we went out and bought enough green tags from the Bonneville Environmental Foundation to power two of our major chair lifts this year.
By taking this positive action, Mount Hood Meadows Ski Resort prevented 256 tons of greenhouse gases.
This is just totally awesome.
The purchase of green tags makes Mount Hood Meadows the third in the country among ski areas for support of renewable energy. That's Planet Check.
Planet Check is possible thanks to Circle of Life and We the Planet. www.circleoflife.org, where consciousness is cool.
Remember the good old days when ice cream cones cost a nickel? When you could walk to the corner drugstore and the pharmacist actually knew your name? Well, we do. It was all the way back in 1927 when pharmacist Milford Harris invented Pink Salve, spelled P-I-N-X-A-V, to heal his children's diaper rash. And Pink Salve also works for all forms of skin irritations, for babies, active adults, and those in their golden years. Well, just like the horse and buggy, the independent pharmacy is slowly disappearing. But not Pink Salve. We aren't owned by a huge pharmaceutical corporate giant. We aren't going public. We are here for one simple reason: to help heal your baby from the misery of diaper rash. If Pink Salve is not available at your local drugstore, you can buy it online at www.pinksalve.com or just call us toll-free at 888-4-PINK-SALVE. We are very proud of Pink Salve and grateful for the opportunity to offer you and your family this outstanding product.
Laura Flanders.
Let's transition and let's talk about another historical parallel to the situation we find ourselves in today. One of the things left for us to discuss here today is the parallels that many people are drawing to the situation in Vietnam. Is it a legitimate parallel? Does it work? Does it make sense?
Laura Flanders, Saturday night from 7 to 10 on Air America Radio.
Hey, it's Mark Maron here with Mark Riley and Sue Ellicott on Air America's Morning Sedition. It is now 21 past the hour, and it's time to reveal the top secret contents of the intelligence community's highly classified presidential daily briefing for Thursday, April 22nd. Today's PDB entitled Earth Day, Destruction of Our Planet. Mr. President, it has come to our attention that Earth is planning to die a torturous, horrible death within the next 50 to 100 years unless, quote, we do something about the environment now, unquote. Though it is not our policy to negotiate with terrorists, America must prepare itself for any possible, quote, end-of-the-world-related program activities, unquote. It is our recommendation that the administration start hoarding potable water and canned meats. Portable water?
Potable?
Potable.
Able to be potable.
Potable.
Oh, potable water.
Drinkable, guys.
Hoarding potable water and canned meats in underground warehouses for the chosen breeders. Until such time, we can space shuttle selected white, non-Jew, non-West Coast families to gated communities on the surface of Mars, a.k.a. Planet Crawford. This doesn't apply to Wolfowitz, by the way. Until those protocols are in place, we should buy bigger cars and burn every last drop of existing fossil fuel. As a concession to centrists, we can still recycle Coke bottles. That's our PDB today. A little distracted by my inability to read or properly pronounce words.
Pronounce.
Popily.
Like portable.
Potabi. It wasn't portable. It was
Potabi.
What was it? Was it portable?
Wannabe?
Potable.
Potable.
Potable. See,
potable.
You want? I'll be honest.
Possible.
With you. I don't even know what that is.
You'd know potable. If you drank non-potable water.
Why can't they just, like, you know, if they're going to, you know, issue classified documents, why can't they make it for, easy to understand for me?
It's all about confusing.
Because I don't know the words.
It's all about confusing the voters.
That's right.
Potable.
Now, I'm going to really confuse you now.
Yeah.
You ever hear the word parthenogenesis?
Yes.
Parthenogenesis.
Parthenogenesis.
Is that something to do with Greeks?
No.
Oh.
It means sex without men.
It is, actually. It's probably,
but
it does
not,
come from Greece.
Oh, yeah, it does
it
come from
Greek
Greece.
It does.
Yeah. Greece, New York, upstate. But parthenogenesis does not mean the sex without men that you're used to, Mark Maron. The kind of stuff that you see on the videos and the DVDs. And
I pulled back, man. I had to pull back.
You had to pull back?
Yeah.
Well, this kind of of sex without men actually leads to reproduction.
Okay, I'm with you. It's starting to sound a little scary to me.
Well, yeah, it might. Well, scientists have believed for a long time that only plants could do it, but now there's evidence the same thing can happen in mammals. Japanese and Korean researchers have managed to create a mouse without the benefit of male fertilization.
Wait, hold on.
I don't know why that helps anybody.
Back up, Riley. So you're saying that the girl mouse can just have the mouse without anything
without
to do
any
with us?
Fertilization.
With no sperm whatsoever?
No
sperm. Just spontaneously
sperm.
Generate a little baby without, they don't need us at all?
You know how they did this?
No.
They managed,
adoption?
Apparently, no. Although that would have been a viable alternative. What they've managed to do is apparently trick the egg of the female mouse into believing that a strand of DNA is actually male when it's female.
Why do we need to do this? What help is this to anybody?
They tricked the DNA into you're saying the sperm tricked the egg?
No.
Into thinking it was...
No, not sperm.
Not
there is
clever.
No sperm.
Right, no sperm. So
no
the DNA
sperm.
Just tricked the egg into saying, yeah, hey, I'm really...
So in other words, it's absolutely no fun way to create a single mother mouse.
Yeah, and they've already done that. They actually have a mouse.
It's so confusing.
The mouse actually has a name, which I'll find in a minute. And that mouse has actually had its own offspring as well, who've been perfectly normal.
So what are the repercussions or the great benefits of this?
Absolutely.
Well, the repercussions could be, of course, the question is, could human parthenogenesis be next?
Which why
means
would
that,
any,
which means right now, this
why
could
would
spontaneously
any mother
generate a baby?
Yeah. Yep.
Why would
it's
any,
happening, and it's messy.
Why would any woman in her right mind want to do that? I mean, isn't being a single mother hard enough? Why would you want to spontaneously pop
out a baby?
Didn't
you watch Murphy Brown when it was on?
This is a question
Thankfully,
for
Sinead. I limited my intake of Murphy Brown. I find that show very, very unfunny.
This is a question for Sinead O'Connor. There are people, I think, that would want to just, you know, have kids without having a man around to ruin it.
Yeah. Plus, I mean, lesbians are many times want to have kids without necessarily having a man around.
Yeah, because then they got to go find a guy, and they got to go, could you help us out, please? Could you just, here's a cup. Yeah, we like you. You've always been our friend.
Here's the magazine. Here's the room.
Here's a cup. Like Melissa Etheridge, you know, sought out David Crosby to impregnate her partner. Out of all the people in the world, the guy's got a good voice, all right?
Yeah.
But, you know, he's got a history of drug problems. So they're really sort of pushing their luck on the nature-nurture thing. You know, there's a real outside chance that kid's going to be fat, bald, have a mustache, and have a tremendous crack problem.
That's really
and be a lesbian on top of it.
Now, there's another development that's sure to make men feel good. There is evidence that 65 million years ago, I don't know why anybody cares about this, but 65 million years ago.
That's history.
Dinosaurs were wiped out, not just because of the asteroid that everybody says hit the Earth and caused the temperatures to go down.
What about the egg-sucking mammal theory?
Well, no, this is apparently a question of whether or not too many males were born because the temperature dropped so quickly.
Right,
now, I don't know why.
Because female dinosaurs couldn't handle cold weather? Is that
No, female dinosaurs couldn't handle cold weather
don't you
and
have any,
more female dinosaurs.
Don't you have any mnemonics that might help you remember that?
Yeah. Early dinosaurs might prevent permanent rootism if they move to Palm Beach and leave behind cold weather.
So, yes, so
yeah.
Exactly what
that's exactly what happened 65 million years ago.
But I thought the dinosaurs, you know, collapsed or were extinct because their knees gave out. I thought they just had bad knee
joints.
They
just got so heavy and their scales and their heads got so big and their teeth just got too
that's
big.
That's what my dad told me.
Buckled.
That's what my dad told me when he thought I was overweight when I was in my teens.
That's all urban legend.
My knees might give out.
Now it's
thanks,
all coming
dad.
Together. Now it's all starting to make sense. It's always a
daddy
problem.
Right? It's the men
thing. The core of the weirdness.
Now, our third sex story of the morning.
Oh, wow.
Comes to us from Germany. And it looks like couples serving in the German military may soon be getting some really, really good news. Defense officials are planning to scrap a regulation that prevents soldiers from having sex on military bases.
Well, do they think they haven't been having it so far? They're kidding themselves.
Well, they're now they don't have to now.
Hide in the latrine.
Yeah, right?
Well, they can do it right there in front of everyone else.
They're handing out double bunks now?
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. Well, and it's interesting because they're not real specific in the story that I saw about whether or not this pertains only to married couples, to partners, to same-sex partners. I don't know who it exactly pertains to, but they're giving the German soldiers some slack, and I say, go at it.
Yeah, this was heavily lobbied by the German porn industry.
Absolutely. Have they been crippled by the whole AIDS like the people
dude,
in LA?
You know, that's one. This is just, you know, the thing about AIDS and the porn industry and about, you know, the production being in Brazil with the guy who got AIDS and they test here. It's just another example why outsourcing doesn't work. We've got to make our porn at home. It should be manufactured stateside. We can't put these jobs out to other people, no matter how much we need other people in it.
In the San Fernando Valley. By the way, why do they do it all in the San Fernando Valley? That's the epicenter of American porn.
Because you can always go like this. You can always knock on someone's door and go, dude, can we use your house for a porno? And they'll go, yeah, come on in. You got any weed? Excellent. I'll just hang out and watch. You don't mind, do you? There's always a guy that'll say that.
That'll say
San Fernando Valley, yeah. I mean,
here's some more details on the German military scrapping the sex ban. They said, oh, okay, no more. But I just want to quickly say that it's about people in long-term relationships, and that's kind of embarrassing to have to go to your military leaders and ask if they would judge your relationship long-term or not. I mean, how's that? 2 days? Is that long-term?
Yeah, but we got vision. We think it's going to last. Total vision can bank on us.
I got to tell you, though, I would just live off base rather than go through all of that.
We got to bash some more Bush.
Absolutely. Still to come, we are waiting for the facts with today's liberal agenda. And soon as it gets here, Mark Maron will share right here on Air America Radio. But first, news headlines at the bottom of the hour.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. More violence in Iraq this morning. A French journalist has been reportedly killed by mass gunmen in Baghdad. Latest killing of a foreigner comes at a time when two major American corporations have decided to suspend their operations to protect their personnel. Americans are being advised to leave Saudi Arabia this after the bombing at a security building in Riyadh. Relations between the U.S. and Saudi Arabia have been on the decline recently. The search continues for more victims of a twister in Illinois that flattened several buildings yesterday. 8 people are known dead. Longtime Democrat and former New York City Mayor Ed Koch has decided to become the poster boy for the Republican Party, urging New Yorkers to volunteer their services when the GOP is in town this summer for their national convention. And the Wall Street Journal reports this morning that the nation's divorce rate varies widely based on your age at marriage, income, education, length of marriage, race, and other factors. Wayne Gilman, Air America Radio News.
At Volunteers of America, we don't just give kids a way to stay off the streets. We give them the tools they need to reach their full potential. We don't just help the elderly receive needed care. We help them live life to the fullest. We don't just provide food for homeless individuals and families. We provide job training and placements so they can buy groceries. Volunteers of America is a national organization that for over 100 years has provided programs and services that allow people to overcome their challenges to become vital members of their community. At Volunteers of America, we don't just help people, we help people help themselves. Find out how you can support the programs that are working in your community. Contact Volunteers of America today. Call 1-800-899-0089. That's 1-800-899-0089.
Here on Air America Radio with Mark Maron and Mark Riley. It's 32 minutes past the hour, and we are going to tell you that this Sunday, 1 million women are expected to go to Washington, D.C. and march for women's lives and show their support for abortion rights, among other issues that women should care about. But how politically involved are today's young women in America? Are these leaders of tomorrow fighting for women's rights, or are they pillow fighting topless? Guys, really, journalist Alexandra Robbins went undercover at a sorority with the preconceptions that all sororities are for young women who are rich, materialistic, shallow, obsessed with sex, diet, fashion, and breast size, and emerged to tell us in her new book, Pledged, that in fact sororities are for young women who are rich, materialistic, shallow, obsessed with sex, diet, fashion, and breast size. Alexandra.
Good morning.
I cannot believe that the women in your book really represent America and American women. I mean, they don't pick up a newspaper. They seem absolutely disconnected from anything of any substance beyond their waistline. It's tragic.
Well, I do want to defend sororities for a second. You went through that list of all these things. That applies to some girls, definitely not all. There are some wonderful sororities out there. Having said that, though, even though sororities comprise a significant portion of college women today, I would not say that they are representative of women nationwide, largely because many of their lives are so sorority-centric.
But how come so many kind of affluent girls, these women who end up in the sororities that you write about, they are mostly very privileged. Presumably, they have connections. They just seemed utterly self-absorbed and so apolitical. It's scary.
Yes, but I should also add that I think college students on the whole are relatively apolitical. I don't think there's a political element to most young women's lives. College students are pretty insulated. I'd guess they're less likely to watch the news or read a paper than watch MTV, and 20-somethings don't have time because they're in a rush to try to nail down the various aspects of their lives. So I think it's great that at least some celebrities are getting involved because many students will vote because Outkast tells them to.
But they didn't seem the slightest bit political. I mean, I read through your book, and it just seemed that they were getting out of their system the kind of, like, bitchy, kind of nasty, kind of girly girlness that you expect to go through in your preteen years, not once you get to college. I mean, they shared notes to get through their college papers. They seemed so absolutely unmotivated to actually use their college experience to expand their minds.
That's true. Politics is definitely not on the list of top 10 conversation topics for the
people. What are the top 10, if you don't mind me asking?
Let me see. Breasts.
Yeah.
Boys.
Yeah.
Sorority functions.
Okay.
Breast size.
Yeah, nipple rings. Nipple rings.
And I think I'd probably throw breasts in there somewhere.
Yeah, I mean, this book reads like a sort of like a turn-on for guys. It doesn't seem as though, I mean, as a woman, I kind of read that book, and I didn't know whether to laugh or cry.
Yeah, I think a lot of people feel that way. I was so surprised that sororities really are, some of them, not all of them, as campy as the stereotypes. I think men everywhere will be thrilled to know that the image of the topless pillow fights isn't necessarily far-fetched. For example, in some groups at least, for example, one group does something called boob ranking.
Yeah.
During boob ranking, pledges have a limited amount of time to take off their shirts and their bras and examine each other topless so that by the time the clock is up, you want me to keep going? They'll be lined up in order of chest size for the sisters to inspect.
Right.
But it does happen.
And how many other?
Oh, gosh, I would say probably about 50, maybe?
Oh my God, 50!
I think maybe you guys just don't get naked enough in front of one another in your early teen years. And I went to boarding school, all girls, okay, for some years of my life. It's like, get over yourselves.
And look at what a wonderful sort of sexually open person it created, Sue.
Mark doesn't have a clue. He wishes he knew.
You know, I can only tell by being with you for 3 hours a day, every day, and listening to you talk. My judgments are probably not at all bearing in reality. So tell me more about that's as bad as it gets. These rituals are not like the guys, huh? They don't do really heinous things.
No, they do. Sororities have started cracking down on hazing. There are plenty of sororities across the country that do not haze and that are perfectly fine organizations.
Like what kind of hazing?
Well, a couple of weeks ago, a sorority at Loyola University was accused of making its pledges eat spam and alcohol until they vomit and then eat their own vomit,
back to breath.
They can only do that on Fear Factor.
That's horrendous. Now, see, look, when I was growing up, I grew up in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and we used to go to frat parties when I was in high school. When I was in college, I didn't do any of that activity. I was completely anti-sorority fraternity. It's like, you know, sorority girls were just sort of like, you know, we hated them. Are they contemptible people?
It is kind of a class thing, though, isn't it?
What was that?
It's kind of a class thing, but people don't to talk about class in this country, but it seems to me that most of these sorority girls are basically in training to go and join country clubs. They're not worried at all about earning their own money or being independent or being equal to guys. All they care about is sleeping with guys. They're so unevolved.
Yeah, I wouldn't go that far to say all they care about are those sorts of things. But in terms of class, yes, sororities tend to recruit wealthier girls because they want people who can pay the dues. And this isn't a reflection necessarily on the girls themselves, but the national offices are so concerned with the bottom line that they want that money. They need those dues in there. And if they don't think a girl's going to be able to pay the dues, they're not going to let her in.
You mean for the alumni, for the future of the sorority?
No, college students, to be a member of a sorority, you have to pay per semester anywhere from a couple hundred dollars to a couple thousand dollars. So one of the four girls I shadowed undercover throughout the year was actually a poor girl who had to take on extra jobs just to pay her sorority dues.
Was it worth it to her?
It's still up in the air for her. So far, yes, in the end.
What are the benefits long term?
There are several benefits. One is friendship. I think even when girls have a negative experience in sorority, sometimes they'll come out of there with their closest friends for life. They also have a chance to get confidence in themselves, either because they have this affiliation, which in the South especially is so important as a label, or because they take leadership roles within the group. And I think another benefit is humor. I mean, as I saw throughout the year, and as I hope is evident in the dialogues reprinted in Pledge, there's a lot of humor in sorority life. These girls are pretty funny.
Yeah, I would say unintentionally, largely, but it is a kind of a club. It struck me as it's kind of a club. People who feel safe because they have the same hair, they have the same kind of background, they have the same very narrow value system, and you know, it's kind of scary to me that you can go through that many years in college and kind of not come out and kind of be more connected to the greater world and have some understanding of people whose lives are far less privileged than your own. I thought it was a very scary subsection of American female culture.
Yeah, I think in many cases, instead of enhancing a girl's individual identity, the sorority threatens to sort of swallow them whole. And I think that's one of the problems with sororities. Under the guise of propelling women forward, some sororities also tug them backward with things like dress codes and male-centered activities and ideas of proper comportment and sort of a subjugation of self to the group so that there's no real improvement or development of women at all. But that's just in some sororities.
Just Alexandra, really quickly, how likely do you think that any sorority that are out there campaigning for abortion rights in Washington, D.C. this weekend?
Oh, gosh. You know, I've looked on Greek message boards, and I haven't seen anything about the march.
Funny that, isn't it?
Have to be politically active to merit their existence, but if these 3.5 million women spent half the time on women's issues as they do writing me hate mail for daring to write a book about sororities, we wouldn't need a march in the first place.
Now, you did this undercover. Did you ever worry about getting busted?
Yeah, I did worry a few times, but I happened to make it throughout the year. I figured, I'm 27, I was 26 when I did this book, and I figured if I was going to write a voyeuristic behind-the-scenes look at a year in a...
Couldn't wait much longer.
I had to do it soon while I could still pass for 19.
And there was never any suspect? You didn't think you were going to wake up with your eyebrows shaved or anything? For
nah.
An assassin?
What was your closest call?
My closest call was probably I attended a Greek leadership conference, and they actually went around the room. This was sort of a regional conference for fraternity and sorority members. They went around the room in one very small seminar asking people to say their name, the sorority they were in, and their school. I happened to be the last one in the room, which was fortunate, but I didn't know which schools were there, which sororities were at which schools, and if there was anybody in the room who were at those schools. So I had to come up with something sort of spur in the moment and just come up with a sorority at a school and say I was a member. Luckily, it happened to appease people. Nobody questioned it.
Alexandra Robbins Morgan State? Is that what you...
I didn't give my real name.
I don't think I've ever had a full conversation with a sorority girl. They were always the kind of girls that just sort of looked at me and were like, what?
They don't seem to have full conversations, you know, in particular.
Are most of these sororities...
Even among themselves. I mean, it really made my boarding school days look kind of, you know, evolved and political and mature. I thought they came across as just so immature.
This book really pissed Sue off.
Yeah.
Just
incredibly. I just think it's sad to see so many young girls who have kind of so much at their disposal, who could be kind of so clued into the world, just so, you know, absolutely stuck on themselves.
What's weird? I don't know if you completely understand how college works in America.
Now, Alexandra Robbins, author of Pledge: The Secret Life of Sororities. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Sue. Bye, Mark.
Bye, you guys.
Yeah, I did. It kind of really got me this.
Why did you say you guys?
It's just...
Because there's two of us. I hope.
I was saying goodbye to Alexandra.
Their plumbing system in their house was clogged up with bags of vomit. It was so gross.
Mm. I just wondered if any of them were integrated these sororities.
Anyway, sorry, I'm getting so hot and bothered. Call us, 1-866-303-AAR0. That's 1-866-303-2270. We'll take your calls when we're back.
Air America Radio. Making AM radio cool again.
Planet Check. You know, nationally, we're probably exporting about $100 billion a year to other parts of the world to pay for the energy that we import.
That's Jim Bell, ecological designer from San Diego, California.
And this is a huge cash drain on our whole economy.
The solution? Renewable energy.
I found with my research here in San Diego that covering only 20% of what's already been urbanized, parking lots and rooftops with solar panels, would make us completely energy self-sufficient.
Let the sun shine in.
Pretty much every place in the United States has enough sunlight to make solar development viable, like solar panels. We're just floating in energy.
Jim Bell is the author of the book Long Range Planning, Creating a Sustainable Economy and Future in the San Diego Tijuana Region, a case study. To learn more online,
jimbell.com.
That's Planet Check.
Planet Check is possible thanks to Circle of Life and We the Planet. www.circleoflife.org, where consciousness is cool.
Hi, I'm Cindy Thompson for RAD, recording artists, actors, and athletes against drunk driving. To some, it's just not country music without hard drinking and fast driving. But real life's not always a song. And in less time than it takes to play the latest country hit, someone will be killed or injured in an alcohol-related crash. So next time you're out with someone who's been drinking, don't let them take the wheel. Take the keys instead. Sad stories make great songs, but happy endings make better lives. That's why friends don't let friends drive drunk.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
We are ready for any unforeseen event which may or may not happen.
I recognize there are hurdles, and we're going to achieve those hurdles.
It will take time to restore chaos and order.
Some call those Bushisms, but we think it translates to George W., you're fired. He's the most powerful man in the free world and your elected leader. But it's time to show George W. exactly how you feel. George W., you're fired. That's right. Get your George W., you're fired t-shirt today and start spreading the word. High quality, 100% cotton, various designs, available in every size. It's time to get the word out and support the upcoming Democratic run to the White House. And what better way to show America your convictions than on the front of your chest? Visit www.wyourefired.com. That's www.wyourefired.com and order yours today.
Unfiltered.
My girlfriend is Catholic and her family is very Catholic. And we're walking past the Catholic church in our neighborhood, which is called Our Lady of Pompeii.
Oh,
which
nice.
Is difficult anyway because being buried alive in lava is a weird idea for a church.
Not necessarily. They love martyrdom.
Liz Winstead, Chuck D., and Rachel Maddow.
But lava itself, like the whole hot burning...
Have you read about saints?
Sorry.
It's always a grisly, fiery death.
Air America's Unfiltered. Weekdays 9 to noon on Air America Radio.
Welcome back to Morning Sedition. I'm Mark Maron. I was going to say Sue Riley and Mark Ellicott. Sue Ellicott and Mark Riley. We're taking your calls at 866-303-AAR. Zero. That's 866-303-2270. We'll talk about sororities, anything you want to talk about. We're going to Brooke in Chicago. Brooke.
Hi.
Hi.
Hey, question for
I can hear you.
You know what? I was listening and I love the show. And, you know, I get a little annoyed when I always hear about people criticizing young women and how all they care about is their looks and diets and they don't pay attention to politics. Well, I think it starts at such a young age because young girls aren't taught to care about anything else but boys and diets and, you know, magazines. I mean, there's nothing for them, nothing else for them to care
about.
That's
messed up, and I don't believe that has to happen. It doesn't happen in Europe in the same way. I mean, it's kind of, this was all self-fulfilling. The people who were supposed to be running these sororities kind of, stood for nothing apart from kind of cliquiness.
No, you're right. And also, another thing, too, about that is, I grew up in Chicago. I went to school all my life in Chicago. And we don't have civic classes anymore. I mean, we're not taught the, politics as, an everyday activity, like how to vote, where to vote. I think that is a part of it, too, because we're not taught about everyday politics and how to get involved.
It's we're not taught to really to study properly. I mean, I took American history and all this stuff, and I barely remember it. Do you?
It just makes me
no, angry. Not really.
I know,
no,
it's weird. It's like our priorities are a little different in America. I'm not sure why, and I'm sure they're lax, but some people are good students and some people aren't. But, man, I barely remember anything I learned in high school.
Well, listen, I want to stand up for young American girls because I have a 7-year-old who's preparing to be president of the United States.
Okay.
Okay. She's not worried about boys. She's not worried. She worries about learning how to play the piano, learning how to ride a bicycle, and preparing herself to be president of the United States.
Well, I vote for her.
Because her parents have a kind of sense of, what kind of makes sense and, aren't letting her go out kind of dressed like Britney Spears.
Oh, no, she wants to go out dressed like Britney Spears. I mean, she loves Britney Spears. That's the amazing thing. But you got to create a balance there somewhere.
I blame mothers. I blame kind of shallow, silly mothers for kind of, filling their girls with heads. Their head that they're supposed to have flat stomachs and be bulimic. And it's just a nonsense. I was the first person in my family to go to university. My mother left school when she was 14 and my dad when he was 15. And I read these books about these like stupid girls who have kind of so much money and they just don't care. They just don't care about the world. They don't care about anything beyond themselves. And, it just makes me mad. Okay?
Hey, we got Rick in Washington talk about dinosaurs.
Isn't there like alligators or crocodiles that when the eggs are laid, depending on the temperature, they'll be either male or female?
Are you asking me that?
Well, no. Let me explain to
our listeners. We had a story earlier about the dinosaurs. One of the reasons they died off is that the women dinosaurs, the female dinosaurs, died off before the men because the temperatures changed and that there was a lack of women. And now Rick is calling, asking me or Mark or Sue whether or not there's an alligator that lays eggs in its own. I think there is. How about this? Like, I'll say, yeah, man.
We'll get our research. We can't possibly answer
that
question.
Saying that
we only
statement?
Know the difference between soft-boiled and hard-boiled eggs, but we'll get our research on it.
I know that it's true. It's been on Animal Planet. And also my second comment is if there are mice without any male DNA, what kind of effect does that have down the line?
Well, this is just an experiment right now, and I imagine that we'll have to get back to you on that.
Well, after
there's a few generations.
Yeah, the mouse that they created has, in fact, had offspring. But, I mean, the main thing is that they've managed to get Koreans and Japanese to work together.
Astounding. Wow. Yeah. I want to go to Christine, who's in Chicago.
Rick
Christine, you're on the line with us.
He's
you have
up
a question.
Doing the big work.
Hi, this is Christine.
Hey, Christine. Question?
I was very interested in what you're saying because this is very relevant to me right now. I have a kid that's going to college in the fall, and, I'm very politically aware. I love Air America. I love NPR. And the only things that save me living in this country. But I worry for her because she's politically aware, and I don't want her to get, drawn into this whole sorority thing, and what the hell is it anyway? And I just don't, I worry that, American kids aren't going to college for the right reasons and aren't coming out with what they need to be involved in the political system and to be aware of their environment and all those things that are important to us as humanitarians.
I see the point of people, somehow joining sororities because when you go off to college, you don't feel you belong, you don't have friends. It is a kind of, feeling that you are part of a group and stopping feeling so insecure. But, maybe if there are sororities that actually stand for something and, kind of believe in some kind of education and involvement in something other than, how to wax your eyebrows, great. But, I didn't see that in this book.
It's amazing. When I first went to NYU, I had the same feeling of isolation, feeling I was all alone. I didn't know anybody. But this guy, who's now, by the way, a very prominent Muslim imam, walked up to me, stuck out his hand, said, "Hi, I'm so-and-so. Good to meet you. Do you met anybody else on the campus?" Mm-hmm. And NYU at the time had like 35, 40,000 students.
Right.
So you could really easily feel isolated.
Right.
But there were always people, and this was not sorority, fraternity-oriented, none of that. It was just people reaching out.
But there must be a failing in colleges not to provide that kind of environment. Perhaps it's too big, it's too impersonal. When I went to college in England, and we lived in dormitories, and there were things set up in the first few weeks that you could go and, you know, to the student newspaper or to this sports club. You didn't have to belong to a group. Everybody had the same hairstyle as you. You went towards a place that,
of your social ilk.
Yeah, well, no, interest that you shared,
right,
or
right,
interest that you would like to share, but you hadn't had a chance to develop, or, you know, you could join the sailing club if you grew up in the middle of a city. I mean, isn't that good enough? Why do you have to go and live with a bunch of people who you feel are completely familiar to you?
The number is 866-303-2270. We're going to Dave in California.
Are we?
You got two marks on your show. Does that make you Marxist?
Thank you, Dave.
What I was wondering was, can you imagine another wartime president like Eisenhower or Lincoln or FDR or Kennedy hiding behind his vice president? I mean, it's supposed to be a thing about leadership, and you have to have your vice president, which I don't know which FDR VP said is an office worse than having a warm bucket of spit, and you have to have guy...
Yeah.
Hold your hand for you.
Did
Cheney follow him in the bathroom and do the shake for him as well?
Thanks for the image.
Yeah, we appreciate it.
I don't know, but I think that's a complete lack of leadership.
That's,
you know,
that's
really shows his ineptitude.
Absolutely. We've been saying that all day, that this guy, I think that's going to be a lot of George saying, whatever Dick said.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. It's completely unheard of, and the fact that this guy doesn't even have the emotional or character stamina to stand up for himself in this situation.
Do you think they can use hand signals?
I don't know. We have a hard time with it. I can't imagine it would work.
Let's go next to Janet, who's calling us from Tarrytown, New York. Janet.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Okay. First of all, I want to say that it's very interesting to hear this on delay and live. It's very interesting.
Kind of trippy, right? Loud, 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 loud.
I wanted to make a comment about the book and the sorority issue.
Mm-hmm.
It seems to me that the author of the book, she studied white sororities, and I think there's a huge difference.
I agree, completely agree.
With black sororities and fraternities and their objectives and their activities. And
she does say that in her book, actually, and in one of the white sororities that she profiles, there is one kind of black member who is always kind of rolling her eyes when the incredibly clueless, you know, out of touch kind of rich white girls are obsessing about stuff, and she's really trying very, very hard to make ends meet and to come up with the dues that she needs to pay to get in the sorority. But, you know, that was my biggest beef with the book, is that, you know, she makes those points, but yet it still dwells far too much on these incredibly privileged.
You were talking about that before, right?
Women.
Yeah.
Like
there are market. Black sororities that are, in fact, going to Washington en masse. They have groups of sororities. I know this because my sister-in-law and my wife's aunt are both members of the same sorority, and they are extremely active. But my wife's aunt was involved in setting up the first African-American center in the town where they grew up. And all of that stuff comes out of the sorority experience. So it's a very it's like churches. It's like anything else.
Mm-hmm.
That would have been a very different book. Did she cover that at all in there?
And she sort of alludes to it. But it's just that the thing that's scary about the book is you read about all these girls and you just think, uh-oh, I'm just reading about these thousands of young Republican women in training. I mean, how these women could kind of come out and vote with any kind of intelligence on abortion issues or anything else that touches women's lives is beyond me. Oh, Barbara! Sorry, Barbara.
Sorry, ma'am.
Facts from Barbara Streisand's compound with our daily liberal agenda. Remember, write these down. These are what you need to do. One, start after-school club for gay Satanists. Then sue them for violating the separation of church and state.
There you go.
Two, set up nationalized health care system for the life partners of relatives of friends of illegal aliens. Wow.
That would help me.
Three, take a homeless person to lunch and then buy him a new gun. Four, mix the races until fully blended, then criticize society for its lack of diversity. Five, write in Allah we trust on all paper money. Six, send flowers to an abortionist. Seven, young people, abuse drugs and engage in reckless sex, then write preachy, best-selling autobiography about fabulous, ill-spent youth. Those are your marching orders for today from the Streisand compound. That's been our liberal agenda.
And don't forget to march in Washington on Sunday.
Yeah, I would go if I wasn't going.
Yeah, right? We have to get up too early to march.
I'm going to D.C. I might well go on Sunday.
I got asked to do a show on Saturday night. I'm actually going to be in Minnesota, in Minneapolis, doing a show at a Hillel function. And I was asked to do a show on Saturday night in D.C., but I can't, and I would have liked to.
No, it's a long way to walk from Washington to Minnesota.
Happy Earth Day.
Join us tomorrow on Air America when we'll talk with author Will Solitan, and we'll talk with a former CIA case officer who knows far too much about Marc Maron. That's tomorrow's Morning's Edition here on Air America Radio.
Planet.
In honor of Earth Day, we talk to the man who started it all, Gaylord Nelson, the founder of Earth Day. What do you think is the biggest environmental threat facing us today?
I think, obviously, it is the burgeoning population growth.
Currently, in the United States, there are now 260 to 265 million people.
When I was born in 1916, there were about 80 million people in the country. Before the next century ends, the projections are we will join China and India in the making of a billion population total.
Gaylord says, where will we put all those people?
What happens to the open space and so forth? We aren't even discussing that.
Words of wisdom from the founder of Earth Day, Gaylord Nelson. That's Planet Check.
You're listening to 1190 WLIB New York, the home of Air America Radio.
Hey, this is Rachel from Unfiltered on Air America Radio, where we promise you news and opinions you will not hear anywhere else, including on the rest of the network. It's unfiltered at airamericaradio.com. That's our email address. We always love to hear from you. I'll be back in just a second with Chuck D and Liz Winstead right after news from Air America Radio.